This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, as well as a premium Erotica Taboo Podcast, which contains more intense sexual themes. You can access the Taboo Podcast on Spotify or support the other free Erotica podcasts on Patreon, which will allow us to continue providing free content, as well as this gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choice. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction, with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. The Last Boy Scout by TX Tall Tales. Chapter 01. Don't get me wrong. I love camping. I like the preparation, selecting my gear, carefully loading the backpack, picking out the area to hike, and planning the whole event. I love the experience, the hours spent trekking through the wilderness, selecting a suitable campsite, the quiet of the outdoors, the majestic vistas, the fresh air. I even enjoy the sense of accomplishment of minimally invasive outdoor living, where after a few days, you'd never know somebody had bivouacked there. This was not camping. The outdoors club had selected the campsite. The permissible fire locations evaluated and chosen. Tent locations tagged. There were even tables for eating. It's not that I'm not sociable. Au contraire. But camping, to me, had a different connotation than most in this group. In part, that's why I was hauling my gear to the most remote camping space I could find within the loud area. If I was going to rough it here, I'd do it apart from the others where possible, and do it in style. I say camping space, since where the rest of the school's outdoors club were spending the absolute minimum amount of time setting up a tiny pop-up two-man tent, I was going to create a personal retreat. My family was trekkers, climbers, and outdoorsmen, and like my father and brother before me, I was an Eagle Scout, proudly. Before I was 14, I'd summit my first 20,000 feet peak. Our outdoor gear tended to the high end. Either ultra-lightweight, ultra-sturdy gear that could, and had, survived a blizzard at 16,000 feet, or ridiculously luxurious family gear you could drag out of the Land Rover and set up within 50 feet or so, where weight and size weren't an issue. When planning for this trip, I had opted for comfort. The school van was dropping off our gear within a couple of hundred yards of where we planned to spend our extended weekend, miles away from anything resembling civilization. No need to worry about cramming 2 weeks of sustenance and survival into a 50-pound backpack I'd be hauling for hundreds of miles. A $500 Alpine mummy bag, good to minus 40 degrees, might be critical on a Denali summit attempt, but an early fall, National Park weekend outing screamed out to me for the parents' ultra-spacious North Face 3 season double bag, with self-inflating double-width pad. Sure, at nearly 16 pounds it was four times as heavy as I would normally carry, but then again, I was only carrying it a quarter mile or so. Of course I had ulterior motives. My girlfriend had graduated and moved away over the summer. I was single, for the first time in over a year. If there was any chance of getting lucky on this trip, the double-wide sleeping bag had its advantages. To be honest, I believe the odds were in my favor. I wasn't just available, but actively pursuing opportunities. The outdoors club was a target-rich environment, restricted to upperclassmen, with two girls for every guy in the club. Literally. With 22 people on this trip, there were only 8 guys total, excluding the chaperones. Like I said, nice odds. As for equipment choices, so important on a mission like this one, comfort and privacy were behind my tent selection. Watching my classmates erect their Happy Camper, $25 Sears pup tents, I was still clearing out the flooring area of rocks and twigs and laying out a 9-foot by 12-foot ground tarp when they started taking off for the river. I had selected a location a good 50 feet away and at least 10 feet higher up than the wide flat space where most of them had chosen to set up camp. It was away from the clearing, under cover of the massive trees, and almost like being outdoors. My backpack was pretty loaded, even without the tent, sleeping bag, and ground pad. I had been on enough of these tenderfoot trips to know how ill-prepared most people were, including our chaperones. I had a pack full of useful stuff, from parkour to poly tarps, wool blankets to windbreakers, coffee to cocoa. Spare knives, lots of first aid supplies, and twice the clothes I normally pack for 3 days. I had it drilled into me enough. Be prepared. I broke out the biggest camo tarp, 14 feet by 20 feet, and ran a rope between two trees a little wider than the cloth. It only took about 5 minutes to create a spacious rain/sun shelter, and I moved my gear underneath it, along with my two camp chairs. I took a break, looking down at the work going on below. Nearly everyone else was finished, and I hadn't even started on my actual tent yet. Terry had been teasing me, in a good-natured way, after finishing her own setup. "That's a lot of gear you've got," she observed, watching me hammer the heavy-duty stakes into the ground with the back of my hatchet. "I like to be comfortable and dry," I explained, unfolding the tent in the center of the ground preparations. I looked over at where her tent was, the nearest to mine. It was higher than the others were. "Good choice for your spot. It should stay dry if we get any of the predicted rain. I can't believe the area we're supposed to camp is in a depression. 30% chance of showers on the last day? What are you? A wuss? I wouldn't sweat it too much. Gotta love those weathermen, always 100% accurate. She was a loud mouth, and a pain in my butt, but a decent friend in spite of all that. Need some help? She asked, reaching out to one corner of the folded-up material and straightening it. Thanks, that would help a lot. I had always liked Terry. We'd been the best of friends through middle school, and even up through my freshman year. She was honest and open, speaking her mind, but rarely judgmental. A goody-two-shoes, for the most part, and pure as the driven snow, but unlike some, she didn't force her values on you. Lucky for me. She was ready for the water, wearing a bikini top and shorts, with open-toed sandals. It was only 100 yards or so to the bank, one of the main reasons we'd chosen this spot, but there wasn't much of a trail. I hoped her feet and legs didn't get scraped up too badly on the way back and forth. That would be a true shame. Her chest might not be head-turning, barely filling her bikini, but from the waist down, not bad. Those legs, though a little skinny for my tastes, seemed to go on forever. Terry was about 5'9", and most of that was legs. Easily her best feature. Geez, Alex, how big is this thing? She asked, as we continued the unfolding. I purred. You have no idea how many times I've dreamed of you uttering those very words. She slapped me on the arm, looking around for any witnesses of my verbal haranguing and her physical assault. Ass, she said, but I could hear the smile in her voice. It's not that big. It's a 6-man tent, but it has a pretty large entrance vestibule, bigger than the tent. Just a 6-man tent. While I'm stuck in an oversized matchbox with Heather and her 20 pounds of makeup. I've built bigger tents than ours out of cushions in my parents' living room. She was helping me thread the bungee pole through the series of a dozen or so loops that would hold the dome up. One of 6 poles the mountaineering base camp tent used to keep it sturdy. It would survive a monsoon. Bending over, I got a nice view of a little boobage. Not a lot, but enough to make me smile. Hey, I offered to let you share mine. I reminded her. Right. Never mind the Herculean effort it would take to keep my virtue intact. How many ways could that plan go wrong? Herculean. I like that about Terry. Not afraid to exercise her vocabulary. Wrong? I countered. 1. Chaperones? Remember? No going in each other's tents? We'd be kicked out of the club, and possibly suspended. At least I would be. Somehow you always seem to skate. 2. My impeccable reputation, which is being sullied as we speak from the mere proximity of our resident Don Juan. Don Juan? I interjected, trying to invest my voice with all the injustice and hurt I could, while sliding the longer poles into their slots, where they would hold the roof in place. Hush, Senor Juan. 3. The absolute certainty my parents would find out about my behavior, and upon my shameful return home, I'd see all my belongings scattered by the curb, my face cut out of the family portraits, and a large street sign in the yard announcing eviction from my childhood manse, on the basis of moral turpitude. With Alex, no less, of whose questionable morality I'd been warned of plenty of times, from family, friends, and foes. She stood up, continuing to lecture me on the dangers I presented, while we bowed the center poles, raising the tent roof. 4. The inevitable shaming and humiliation I'd endure from the myriad young ladies present who really want to be in your tent. The same girls who would banish me from the coveted first floor, east wing ladies' room, ostracizing me and forcing me to change my name to Hester and embroider a large above my breast. I chuckled, sliding the last pole in place and adjusting the tension all around before staking everything securely. A for Alex? I teased. You'd name your breast after me? That's sweet. You heathen. She growled. Unlike the hoi-polloi we're doomed to consort with, you know better. Consorting now? What's that going to do for your impious reputation, Miss Prynne? She was still helping me, stretching the fly across the top of the tent, elastic cord stretching it in place. I dodged an incoming plastic stake. Impeccable, not impious. I stand corrected. So if that's all that's standing in the way, why don't we get your stuff and move you inside with me? Is that all, Casanova? What could possibly induce me to enter your fiendish lair of iniquity? First, Don Juan? Really? A moral womanizer, seducer of countless women, heedless of their marital status, age, or temperament. Don Quixote is more like it, misunderstood knight of purest chivalry and intentions, in search of his one lady love. I sidled up next to her while she held one of the fly tie-downs in place. Dulcinea, my love. I've searched for you long and far. I've erected this monument to your beauty. Care to help me christen our castle? I murmured with a cheesy Spanish accent. She gave me a shove with her shoulder. Cut it, Alex. You don't want me. The only reason you chase me at all is because you can't have me. There are enough girls here who'd swoon to be chosen as your lady love. Pick one and let's be done with it. Truth was, she was kind of right. Not that I didn't like her, or that she wasn't attractive enough. We had been friends since we were kids, really close in middle school, but for the last couple of years there'd been an awkward feel to our friendship, which I felt could go haywire at any time. Besides, I had already given it a shot, only to be rejected repeatedly. Now she was off my radar. 7th grade crush gone bad. I had my sights set on other, more tempting and much more available targets. I glanced over to where one of those targets was lingering over her own campsite, casting looks our way, some wistful, some irritated. I don't believe Julie Samuelson approved of the amount of attention that Terry was garnering. Call it a turf war. But Terry was fun to tease, and once into the role, it was hard to back off. I stood and helped her to her feet. Leaning over, I whispered. You can't be more wrong. I like you a lot. Pretty, brilliant, and begging to be corrupted. My hand gently brushed her hair back and caressed her cheek lightly. She blushed heavily, stepping cautiously away. See? That's what I'm talking about. Alex. Always pushing the limits. Quit the damn teasing and grow up. It's not like I don't know what you really like. She glanced over at the sexy young thing waiting her turn. I can't believe anything you say. That is why you never catch me entering your tent, come hell or high water. She turned away from me and marched off, looking even better walking away than she had approaching in the first place. What an ass. And I mean that in the nicest way. Julie meandered over, acting casual, while I started moving my gear inside. I enjoyed watching her, almost laughing aloud at her antics. She was scanning the area, scoping out any possible competition, walking a serpentine path toward my well-delimited domain. As she got closer, she adjusted her skin-tight shorts, brushed her mid-length platinum blonde hair back, licked her full red lips, and a soft sway enveloped her heavenly hips. I knew that, most of all, she was making sure her older sister Lisa wasn't in the area. Apparently, she didn't trust me either, especially with the little hottie that had blossomed over the summer. The term barely legal was coined for innocent hotties like her. She slowed down, posing, hip thrust out, one hand on her waist, the other playing with a lock of her radiant hair. Hey, Alex. She chirped cheerfully. I pretended like I hadn't seen her approaching while I was spreading out my pad and sleeping bag inside the tent. I peered out of the opening, looking up at her. She was only a couple of feet away, and her outstanding tatillas were between me and her face. She actually leaned forward a bit to peer down at me. Julie, aren't you a sight for sore eyes? Good job on the tent. I saw you hammering in those stakes nice and deep. If we get a good storm, half those other tents are going to collapse or blow away. I knew she'd only been biding her time, waiting to come over. Of the girls around the place, she was one of the few that made it deliciously obvious she'd like to be better acquainted. Unfortunately for her, Lisa, her elder, had put the kibosh on that. I wasn't certain why, but fantasized it was because she had her own sights set on me. Not fair, really, since the equally stunning older sister already had a boyfriend. Julie grinned hugely, her perfect teeth peeking out from behind her mesmerizing lips. Looks like your tent won't be going anywhere. I think it's built stronger than the cabin we passed on the way in. Do me a favor, gorgeous, pass me my pack? She reached over to grab it, and almost fell over. The pack probably weighed almost half of what she did. She struggled with it, dragging it the 3 or 4 feet over to me. I lifted it easily, at least in comparison, and put it to the side. Her head appeared in the doorway, and she peered in. Nice. I bet I could stand up in there. She was maybe 5 foot tall. Diminutive and sexy as hell, all the right curves in all the right places, exaggerated by her tiny stature. A living doll I'd love to unwrap and play with. Want to give it a try? I won't bite. She chuckled nervously, looking around again before stepping in. We won't get in trouble? Not while we're setting things up. I put my hand on her bare hip, just above her stupidly tight shorts, her skin baby soft, and guided her to the center. You're right, a good 8 inches to spare. I stood, having to bend over a good bit, putting my face very close to hers. As for me, I think I need a bigger tent. She giggled again, her eyes darting around, betraying her nervousness. My hand was still on her hip, closing minutely, holding her in place. I moved my lips to her ear. It's going to be lonely in this big tent, all by myself. I detected a faint tremble, and felt her warm breath on my neck. You probably won't be alone. I pressed my lips to her neck, tasting her smooth skin. Promise? She gasped, her trembling more pronounced. Lisa would kill me. Her hand moved hesitantly, a cautious creature inching forward, landing on my arm. My lips glided across her cheek, seeking out hers. I held her head in my hand, turning it slightly, to signal my control over her. I pushed my tongue against her teeth, and she opened her mouth to me, letting me kiss her for a few seconds before returning my ardor. I pulled her closer, our bodies pressing together, her full tits smashed against my chest. Her arms eagerly embraced me. I retreated, the hand on her waist descending smoothly, caressing her rear, while I released her head. She surprised me by leaning forward and stealing a second quick kiss. She was blushing bright enough to illuminate the tent. Kneeling back down, I opened my backpack. I'm going to change into my bathing shorts. Wait for me? I peeled off my shirt and started opening my khaki shorts. Poor sweet thing. She was thoroughly befuddled. When I started pushing my shorts down, she darted for the entrance. I watched her cute rump exit my tent. I'll wait. She answered from outside. Such an innocent. She didn't even peek in. Too bad. I stroked myself a few times, thinking of playing with the cutie, giving my package a little extra heft before going down to the water and putting it on display. I was ready to do a little trolling. A couple of minutes later, we strolled down to the river, side by side. Apparently, she was willing to face the wrath of her sister and be seen in my company. At least for the moment. I wonder if it was the kiss. It was a fun afternoon, splashing around, playing in the water, chicken fights, some frisbee, a little accidental groping, and a bit of sunning. A great start to the long weekend. Except for one thing. I wanted a new girlfriend. Scratch that, I needed one. I was tired of doing without sex, and liked having that one steady girl you could depend on for so many wonderful things. No matter what Terry said. In spite of all my flirting and teasing, I wasn't really a player. Hell, I had only slept with 3 girls in all of high school, and all of them had graduated. I was ready to make it 4. The only question was who? two of the girls I was seriously contemplating a relationship with were on this campout. Three if you counted Lisa, which I refused to do until she broke up with her current boyfriend. Sexy young Julie made the cut, as did the delightfully delicious Dominique. For the moment, Dominique seemed immune to my charms, although she was friendly enough. Not that there weren't other potentials. Shit. Half the girls on the campout I would happily bounce bellies with, and that included Miss Shannon, our ever-so-female chaperone, and not-so-secret crush of mine. I'm certain that Terry would be a worthwhile conquest, and her tentmate Heather was beyond doable. The only thing keeping her off my list was her open disdain for me. Not worth the effort to fight. No, I was better off concentrating on Julie and Dominique. We had a simple campfire dinner of burgers and chips, and talked about the activities we had planned for the next day before our diligent chaperones reminded us of the rules. No leaving the camp area after 10 o'clock, no swimming after lights out, skirts up and pants down, indicating the need for the guys to go downstream and the girls upstream to go to the bathroom. Most of all, stay out of each other's tents. Bunch of spoilsports. Julie was under Lisa's watchful eye, and one of the underclassmen was doing his best to make time with her. When he looked my way, I gave him my best glare, and when Lisa wasn't looking, I did the old thumb across the throat gesture. I think he got the message. With Julie occupied and under watch, at least for the moment, I sought out the stunning Dominique, easily the prettiest girl in camp, if we took Miss Shannon out of the equation. Dominique looked like a model, tall, slender, and graceful. She was a hard nut to crack, though. Whenever I sat near her, she would clam up, obviously nervous around me, speaking in single-word answers, or the briefest of phrases. If I casually touched her, she would jump to the stars, and I'd be hard-pressed to get her speaking for minutes afterwards. I kept coming back for more. You know the whole moth-slash-flame thing. To me she blazed like the sun. I fantasized that if I was able to get Dominique alone, instead of surrounded by half the camp while sitting by the huge central fire, I'd have more luck. I'd have to do something about that. Luck favors the prepared. Despite my best, or worst, intentions, I was in my sleeping bag, alone, before 11, and planning my personal missions for the next day. I'm certain of one thing. I slept better and more comfortably than most of the group. No sticks or stones digging into me, the doubled-up pad isolating me from the rough earth, my sleeping bag soft against my naked skin. I could still hear a faint amount of rustling and muted conversation going on in the tents below me. Who else is sleeping naked? I called out into the night. I was bombarded with a chorus of, me, you, TMI, and the requisite, Alex Hamilton, enough of that, from my favorite chaperone. I relaxed into my bag. Day one shot. I had high hopes for day two. I was one of the first up, getting the fire going, and putting two kettles to boil over the coals. Years of camping had me getting up with the sun when outdoors. I ambled down to the riverside, cleaning up as much as I could, running a comb through my hair, brushing my teeth, and making myself moderately presentable. When I had returned to the fire, a few weary souls were struggling out of their tents, stretching, and then heading up or downstream to take care of their immediate needs. Miss Shannon Ryan, humanities teacher extraordinaire, looking quite fetching in a light t-shirt and shorts, squirmed out of her tiny tent, scanning the campsite with a tired scowl. Her wild mane of dark red hair was particularly unruly, making me fantasize about being the one who'd must it up. I smiled when I saw her sniff the air, heading my way. Is that coffee? I held out a mug for her, which she accepted gratefully, inhaling its aroma deeply before taking a taste. God bless you, she whispered, pursing her pretty lips and blowing on it before her second sip. She eased herself down to the log beside me, huddled over her steaming mug in the cool morning air. I glanced over and saw she wasn't wearing a bra, her nipples responding to the morning chill. Her sleeveless tee was too large, and from my angle, I had a dick-hardening view of side boobage, maybe even a nipple. I had a light windbreaker with me and placed it around her shoulders. She looked at me quizzically. I nodded down to her chest. The girls are standing at attention, I said softly. I'm not complaining, but that's a little too much stimulation for some of the boys. I wasn't sure how she'd respond, particularly in this environment, but she took it in stride, slipping her arms into the jacket, and closing one snap right between her boobs. Thanks, too early to be fending off the walking hormones. I'm not up to it at this ungodly hour. She took a sip. I hope you got your fill. I chuckled. You know I'll never get my fill, but as an appetizer, I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Little Alex thanks you as well. Shit. I hadn't meant for that last bit to spill out. She didn't even look my way. Too far. Enough said. It was our code. In a situation like ours, sometimes things got out of hand. One or the other had to draw the line. In the open campground, I guess Shannon figured my last comment was over the top. I could challenge her, of course. But she was right. We had an unusual relationship, and not what you're thinking. It was too easily misinterpreted, so we kept it cool in public. I glanced back at her, and let her know I understood. Sorry. She looked up from her mug, smiling. No, you're not. She had me there. No, I'm not. Not for the comment. But the time and place is all wrong. Her eyes scanned the immediate area, observing the campers starting to slowly wander over. You gonna be good this trip? Or am I going to have to tell your mom? Jeez, Shannon. The mom card? Already? She gave me that evil look of hers, smirking, knowing she had won without even making an effort. I had nobody to blame but myself, and my neurotic need to help anyone in distress. Like a brand new teacher. That's a different story. For a different time. A few people were wandering toward the campfire, which was blazing nicely, while I continued to feed it. Needed a lot of hot coals for breakfast. Coffee and hot chocolates ready for anybody who wants some. Bring your own cup. A couple of them were content to stand near the fire, stretching their hands forward toward the flames, warming up. Several others, however, scampered back to their tents, returning with a wide variety of cups in hand. John showed up, close friend, fellow scout and second-year member of the outdoor club. He sat down nearby holding a mug out, which I filled with coffee. Man, it got cold last night. I'm glad I wasn't sleeping naked. Miss Shannon almost spit up her coffee. Inappropriate much? She asked, peering at him. Hey, I didn't start it. He argued, looking at me pointedly. Don't remind me. She growled. She stared at me for a few seconds, and then went back to her coffee. Dispensation for the coffee and jacket. Now clean it up, Mr. Hamilton. The last name thing was my warning. But I had to hand it to her, she always gave me the warning, an opportunity to reel myself in before she had to. In public, Miss Shannon was cool. She could tease with the best of them, but was able to draw the line at how far things could go. I was always careful not to get carried away. A few different witty and salacious comments struggled within my head to be heard, but I successfully kept them at bay. Things you might get away with in private, among friends and family, did not play as well in public. She looked over at me, raising one immaculately maintained eyebrow over those dark, sleepy, bedroom eyes, waiting for a smart-ass response. Not today! Under the radar. Looking for some wiggle room in case things went my way later. I was being good. Yes, ma'am. Last thing I would want to do is cause any trouble for my all-time, number one, favorite teacher. Can I give you a refill? She smiled for me, secure in holding the upper hand, and held out her mug. I took her hands in one of mine, steadying them, while I poured the coffee. I took my time letting go of her hands, my thumb caressing the back of one, intimately. She didn't look at me, but I saw the beginning of a blush. Miss Shannon's blush was about the best I did all day. Saturday was a training day. All of our activities predetermined, keeping us busy until almost sunset. The day had turned hot, high 80s at least, and the views were spectacular, but there was very little time for personal activities. The teachers paired us off when we did any projects, and it looked like Miss Shannon and Dr. Reed were determined to match me up with those who I had the least interest in being with. I would not put it past them to do it on purpose. We were all tired by the time we settled in for our dinner, a huge pot of spaghetti, meat sauce, and toasted French bread. A large beverage cooler with punch and another with water kept us hydrated. We took turns doing the cooking and cleanup, but I had volunteered to take care of the fire each morning, escaping most of the cooking and the dreaded cleanup. The meal was filling and there was enough to satisfy even the hungriest among us. After we had our end-of-day wrap-up and were reminded of the camp rules and the following day's activities, things wound down and people wandered off on their own. I did a little housekeeping, hanging up my t-shirt from the day before to air out, and cleaning up my personal dishes. I had started on making my covered shelter more inviting by creating a fire space just in front of it, with a tall stack of wood behind it, creating both a heat reflector and a visual wall from the rest of the camp. Instant privacy. Now all I was looking for was a reason to need it. I dug the fire pit out almost a foot deep, piling the excavated earth behind it and to the sides to help reflect the heat back into the covered area. The slope of the front of the pit made it easy to access the fire while enjoying it. I piled up the initial starter tinder and wood, only lacking a match to set it off. A large log, liberated from a not-too-distant campsite, was lying lengthwise and would create an intimate seating area when the time was right. I'd had to recruit John's aid to get it in place, starting his grumbling. Moving back down to the central area, I got John to help me build up a large stock of fallen wood for the communal fire, which in turn got several others participating, until the pile was almost the size of Julie. I also surreptitiously hauled out a canteen of Bacardi 151 and headed back to the main area. People came and went, the conversation ebbing and flowing. By 10 o'clock it was getting a little cooler, nice after the heat of the day, and the wind had picked up a notch. I was happy enough to be parked between the sisters, Lisa and Julie, flirting openly with both, pleasantly surprised at Lisa's openness and willingness to play along. Julie had sought me out during dinner, and Lisa had joined us, seemingly content playing chaperone. We were all drinking the punch, which I'd openly spiked, with their approval. I was keeping the existence of the rum quiet. I did not have enough for everybody and if we were caught, there might be hell to pay. Best if that risk rested on my shoulders. The crowd around the big common fire circle had broken up into half a dozen small groups, and I was more than content with my quiet corner of it. The fire was warm, the smoke was blowing away from us, and the log we were perched on comfortably worn down from countless rears before ours. As it got cooler, and the wind picked up, the groups seemed to collapse in upon themselves, huddling closer together, little black holes of teenage angst and desires. With the amount of desire I was feeling, I imagined our singularity was greater than most. Miss Shannon passed by and obviously sucked in by our gravitational field, leaned over me a second and placed my jacket in my lap. I'd completely forgotten about it. Thanks, she said. I think I'm fine now. I turned toward her, giving a quick glance down at her breasts. That's too bad. You know where I live if you need it again. She gave me that look that warned me I was treading on thin ice while sipping from her ever-present coffee mug. The woman was a caffeine junkie. I rolled the dice of chance, standing up, my back to the fire, hiding my actions. Can I give you a little something for your coffee? I held out the thermos, so she could catch a whiff. She took a sniff then looked up at me with a look of caution. Alex. I moved closer and spoke very softly. Just a drop. To take the edge off. It has to last the whole weekend. I tipped the bottle over toward her mug, and she held it steady. Good enough for me. I poured her an ounce or so. She moved even closer, almost touching me, lowering her voice. Who knows? Just the four of us, at the moment. Keep it that way. If anyone gets drunk, I'll have your ass. Don't tease me, you wicked thing. I whispered back, grinning mischievously. For an offer like that, I'd get everyone shit-faced. Alex! She hissed. I had been teasing Miss Shannon for almost a year now, ever since shortly after she came to our school. I'd ended up helping her out of a situation, and in the doing she'd become friends with my family, and my mother in particular. She knew of my strong feelings for her, and there had been a possibility of reciprocation, once upon a time. But cooler heads had prevailed, and things eased back to the current level of public teasing and private flirtation. She was a teacher and I was a student, at least for the rest of this year. As much as I lusted for her, I liked her too much to jeopardize her name and career. I had to be content with fond memories of one warm evening when she almost became my third. I'm just kidding, Shannon. I would never do anything to get you in trouble. You must know that by now, right? I'll keep it cool. She shook her head, sighing. She sipped her coffee, closed her eyes, and took a deep breath. She opened her eyes, looking up into mine. Take it easy on that stuff, okay? Of course. Let me know if you'd like some more. You're not trying to get me drunk, are you? She whispered, her eyes sparkling. The edge of her mouth turned up just a hint. Here? With all these people around? Not a chance. She rolled her eyes at me. I'm not sure that makes me feel any safer. I promise. Scout's honor. I grinned, holding up the scout salute, then crossing my first two fingers, a skill I'd worked on diligently. Damn, you can be a pain in my ass. The responses I had for that were almost overwhelming. I thought I was going to bite my tongue off reining them in. I know. Believe me, your patience is very much appreciated. Keeping you locked in at the top of my favorite teacher list. Number one with a bullet. She rolled her eyes at me, and then stepped over to the sisters, addressing them. The devil. He is the devil. Sweet talker like that is nothing but trouble. Watch out for him. Lisa almost killed me when she answered. Oh, we know. We watch out for each other. She said with a nod toward her sister. You better watch out too. Our teacher's eyes opened wide, and I almost laughed aloud when she turned away, lost for words. Wounded. I'm mortally wounded, Lisa. I told her with a disappointing shake of my head as I sat back down, squeezing in between them. Poor baby. Don't worry, you'll do fine. There are enough girls around here that aren't aware of your game, Casanova. Casanova? First Harry calls me Don Juan, and now Casanova? What's with you girls? She looked at me like I had two heads. Terry had been sitting nearby, sort of between groups, eavesdropping on both. She was now watching our wordplay from the next log over. She twisted her torso around, scooting a bit closer, poking her nose in. What's with you, Casanova? Camp full of cuties and you're setting one sister against the other? You'd have Lisa cheating on Daryl, but dollars to donuts you'd be doing the same with sweet cheeks given half a chance. She was grinning hugely, getting her kicks out of poking me with her verbal sharp stick. Honestly, I was a little shocked. Cheat? Me? Why would you say that? I have never cheated on a girlfriend. I mean, flirt and joke around, sure. We're all having fun. But I'm not a cheater. I was quite vehement in my own defense, attracting more attention than I had intended. I guess I was a little too vociferous, and I saw Terry shrink back a bit. I was just teasing, she said. My anger was slow to cool, but I didn't want to make a huge scene. All right. Let's talk about cheating. I don't have a girlfriend at the moment, right? I lowered my voice and leaned forward. Terry had to scoot closer and lean in to hear me. I grinned. She was doomed. Captured by our gravity well. She nodded, and the sisters on each side of me leaned in as well, adding an additional modicum of privacy to our discussion. What's cheating? Where do we draw the line? Who's to say if someone's cheating? If I were to kiss Lisa, right here right now, would that be cheating? She has a boyfriend. Would kissing Julie afterward be cheating? Kissing two different girls? It was funny to hear three different responses. Lisa was quick to answer. Of course. Julie was hot on her heels saying. No way. Terry? She took the weak-ass middle road. It depends. I looked at each of the sisters. I reached out for Lisa, pulled her close and gave her a brief peck on the lips. Without waiting for her reaction, I turned to Julie, and gave her a kiss as well, less of a peck, since she seemed eager to respond. Now. Did she cheat? Did I cheat on either one of them? I turned to Lisa. Did I cheat on you kissing your sister? She seemed a little shocked, and shook her head no. How about you? I asked, turning to Julie. No. I waved Terry closer. Come here. She shook her head, looking nervous. Come. Here. I said more firmly, pointing directly in front of me. She looked at me, then the sisters, before scooting forward and kneeling right in front of Julie, inches from me. I reached out and held her jaw in my hand, leaned in and kissed her hard. I pulled her chin down, encouraging her to open her mouth, and slid my tongue between her lips. I'd known her 8 years and it was the first time I'd really kissed her. She whimpered softly before opening her mouth and meeting my tongue with hers. We kissed for several seconds before I pulled away. Who did we cheat on just now? She looked at me with confusion and a hint of anger. Nobody, but that's not a fair question. Why not? It's all in the intention. If I was your girlfriend, then kissing them would be cheating. I sat back and looked at the girls on each side of me. Interestingly, Terry kept her place, kneeling at my feet. Is she right? Lisa was quick to answer. Maybe. Maybe? God, you guys are wishy-washy. How is it maybe cheating? It's only a kiss, damn it. If you mean it. Lisa insisted. If the kiss is meant as wanting more, I think it's cheating. The kiss you gave me, it's not cheating. If you kissed me like you kissed her. She nodded toward Terry. That could be cheating. I sat back, taking a sip of my punch, while the wind blew the dying fire back to life. The temperature was still dropping to the point where it was getting chilly, and the fire was failing to keep up. Perfect excuse to move our little party. Excuse me a minute, ladies. I'll be right back, and we can continue this debate. I passed my half-finished mug of spiked punch to Terry, who took my spot as soon as I got up. I grabbed a nicely flaming log from the fire and jogged the couple of dozen steps to my shelter, putting it under my tinder pile, starting a nearly instant blaze. I climbed into my tent and retrieved my large wool blanket. Essential camping and survival gear. I fed my nascent fire and headed back down to my waiting trio of lovelies. Ladies, let's move this party up the hill. It's getting a little chilly out here, and my wind shelter will keep us nice and warm. Julie and Lisa seemed eager to follow my direction. Terry appeared to have some reservations, but followed along since it was either that or get left behind. I got them seated, Terry in the middle bracketed by the sisters, and wrapped the blanket across all of their shoulders, with a good bit left to wrap around the outside of each of the sisters. I turned back to the fire, stacking a few more logs and getting the flames soaring. The difference in heat was obvious. I went back to the girls and took all their mugs for another refill at the beverage box, adding an ounce of liquid uninhibitor to each one. I filled a fourth cup for myself. Terry started to get up when I got back to them, but I told her to stay put. Not like she would listen. She slid off the log, sitting on the grass, and once I'd sat back down in my original place, she leaned back into me, between my open legs, her arms resting on my thighs, facing the fire. I reached down and rubbed her shoulders. Comfy? Not bad, she replied casually. Both Lisa and Julie moved in closer, pulling the blanket tight to keep them warm. It was a cozy little private nest that I was at the center of. Back to cheating, I announced. Gotta confess, I don't get it. We're all on such clearly different wavelengths. For me, cheating is pretty simple. You're dating someone. You're sleeping with them. You've told each other you're committed. Then you do the deed with a stranger. That's cheating. Do the deed? Julie asked. Coitus, intercourse, the two-backed beast. Terry expounded, peeking back over her shoulder. Sex. Lisa poked me. Really? That's the only way to cheat? Let me guess, if you pull out, it's not cheating, huh? Hey. I didn't say that. If you have sex to the point where you finish, it's cheating whether you come inside or out. Terry decided to pile on. If you accidentally slid your python into some poor thing, but you managed to pull away before you came, that's not cheating? I guess it depends. I stammered. Ihe. Who's the wishy-washy one now? Lisa gloated. She bumped me with her shoulder and smacked me on the leg. I noticed that afterward her hand stayed there, warm against my inner thigh. What about immoral? Julie asked, sounding sincerely curious. Cheating or not? Giving or getting? I asked. Jesus, Alex. Like there's a difference? How can oral not be cheating? Terry snapped. Shh. I cautioned her after she raised her voice. I was going to say that giving is cheating. I mean, you're in control. On the other hand, you wouldn't call rape cheating, would you? Of course not. So if I was on the receiving end and I was encouraging it, it could be cheating, but if I was just a participant, no. Julie seemed to have the most problem grasping the nuances of our discussion. I don't get it. If you had a girlfriend now, like me, but Terry turned around and gave you a BJ, that's not cheating 'cause you didn't ask for it. Terry pulled away from me, as if she had touched a hot coal. Why me? Why am I the one giving the blowjob? She asked angrily. Julie chuckled cutely. You're not. But if someone were going to, you're right there. The little cutie nodded toward my crotch where the conversation was having its effect on me. Terry pretended not to notice. Can we change the subject? She artfully moved back between my legs where I could continue to rub her shoulders, neck and temple, carefully avoiding any indication she was pressed against my hardness. Lisa leaned against me. I guess we never will agree on what cheating is. I laughed. Of course we can. Maybe everybody can't, but every couple can. It's easy enough. If I was lucky enough to be dating you, and we were intimate, and I had managed to somehow maintain my sanity after our first time together, you would get to determine the limits. You tell me what you would consider to be cheating and I wouldn't do it. I had lifted my arm around her and given her a firm hug. Why are we arguing about it then? She shocked me to the core when she took my face in her hands and turned me toward her. She moved within a few inches of my face, staring intently into my eyes. Never have sex with anybody but me, and always come back to me, and everything else is forgiven. I sensed no joking in her statement. Her lips closed the distance between us with a soft kiss that in any other circumstance I would have assumed sealed the deal. But this wasn't any other circumstance. She had a boyfriend, and I was embraced by her sister on one side, and my best friend Terry between my legs, leaning back against my aching hard-on. I drew back from her, watching her eyes for any hint of teasing or joking, but they seared through my soul, an open invitation if I dared to take her up on it. I was a coward. I turned to my old friend, a safe haven in times of confusion. How about you, Terry? What would our version of cheating be, between you and me? I teased her, sliding my hands down her front, across the top of her breasts for a few inches, stopping before her nipples. Not happening. You know it. She grabbed my wrists and moved them up just a bit. I know, but if it did, where would you draw the line? I slid my hands to the sides, feeling the firmness of her smallish tits. Not happening, she repeated, grabbing my wrists, but not pushing them away. But if it did, I curled my fingers under her breasts, always pushing her limits. Hypothetically? Hypothetically. She sighed and leaned back, tilting her head way back and looking up at me upside down, giving me a chance to grope her tits for just a second, before I slid my hands back up to her shoulders. I'm selfish. I don't want another woman to ever see your thing. Don't touch their privates. Stay off their breasts. No tongue when kissing. Don't profess your love or desire for them. Don't get hard for them. No porn. And any time you backslide, you inform me immediately. She turned, her upper arm leaning into my crotch. Quite demanding, huh? Still interested? I leaned down and gave her a kiss on the forehead. If I was involved with you, and that's what it took to keep you happy and maintain the peace, it'd be a small price to pay. Bullshit. Easy to say, but I doubt you could stay faithful a single day. I sighed dramatically. You wound me again, beautiful, ornery lady. I turned to Julie. Same question. If you and I were dating and in a committed relationship, what would you want me to do or not do? What would be cheating? She smiled easily and nuzzled under my arm. That's easy. When you're my boyfriend, I don't want you to do anything behind my back you wouldn't do in front of me. I nearly leaped out of my skin, as did the ladies around me, when a voice broke in from behind us. Now that may be the best answer I've heard yet. Miss Shannon. I wondered how long she had been listening. I heard her giggle. Sorry, didn't mean to scare you all. Nice little private party you have here, Mr. Hamilton. I would appreciate it if next time you warned me before starting a second fire. Let's try to wrap it up, okay? It's getting late. Looking downhill, I saw the main campfire was almost abandoned. Two small groups were all that remained. And you probably have to stay up as long as us, to make sure nobody misbehaves, right? You got it, bucko. Making me hike up here isn't making my job any easier. I pulled out my canteen of rum and offered it to her. She took it, gave it a shake to see how much we'd polished off, and recharged her drink. Miss Shannon, I promise you we will all retire to our own tents in the next 30 minutes, and we won't do anything behind your back we wouldn't do in front of you. She passed me back my canteen. Okay. But I'm going to hold you to that. She peeked over the blanket at the three girls. What did I tell you about him? He's dangerous. Watch out for each other. Terry grinned large. Us? You're the only one he's committed to so far. Nothing behind your back he wouldn't do in front of you. That had the girls in a giggle fit, and had Miss Shannon headed off for one last tour of the camp, her red face lighting the way. I gave Terry a shake. You are rotten. She stifled her giggles, struggling up from her position. Ow, my legs are getting cramped. She waved her mug around, my spare mug to be precise. Anybody else in need of a refill? Both Julie and Lisa passed over their empty mugs, and as soon as Terry was gone, Lisa slid into her place. That shoulder rub looked nice, she hinted. The girl was nothing but surprises. Nice ones, I might add. I laughed, reaching down and rubbing her soft shoulders. I tilted her head back and gave her a short, soft kiss on the lips, then went back to loosening her muscles, working around her neck. I turned to Julie, who was patiently leaning against me. I leaned toward her, and she met me halfway, delivering a long, wonderful kiss. She pulled away and wrapped her arm around my back. So, Alex, am I asking too much of my boyfriend? What do you think, Lisa? I deflected the question. She's right. I like her answer better than mine. It seems simple enough. Nothing behind my back. If you do it in front of me, and I don't like it, then we can talk about it, but there's no surprises. And this way, there might even be things that I might think would bother me but turn out not to. She answered, wriggling under my hands. She turned sideways, her arm resting on my leg, her shoulder and side pushing against my hardness. She looked up at me, eyes big, a small expectant smile on her full lips. She tilted her head back when she saw me staring at her lips, parting them fractionally. I reached down and stroked her hair, before kissing her, slowly and warmly, closing my eyes and losing myself in it. Damn, why did she have to be taken? I pulled back and Julie was turned toward me, straddling the log, her breasts pressed against me. I caught my breath after the surprising older sister kiss. Any ideas about things you thought might bother you and didn't? I asked, while Julie's young lips mapped out the exposed flesh around my neck and chest. Yeah, Lisa answered in a voice full of need. Like seeing you kiss my baby sister, heaven help me. With her sister's explicit encouragement, I pulled Julie close and kissed her as ardently as I had her sister. I moaned into her mouth when I felt Lisa openly rubbing my cock. Jesus! I heard Terry exclaim from a distance. I go to take a tinkle, and I return to Sodom and Gomorrah. Julie looked contrite, as she settled in next to me, arms still holding me tight. Lisa turned, obscuring the fact that a large wet spot was developing on my shorts. Darker color shorts next time. Terry passed out the mugs, and then settled in beside me. She kept a few inches away, and squealed softly when I pulled her in close, kissing her as well. Welcome back, bestie. Did I say you could kiss me? She snapped. I'll stop if you tell me to. She heaved a huge sigh as if she was the most put-upon person in the world. What did I miss? She asked, giving me a warning glance. Julie grinned. Lisa said she could go along with my idea of cheating. Terry was not quite as willing to jump aboard that train. It sounds right, I'll admit. I just don't know. If you ended up with a guy like Shameless here, who knows what he tried to do in front of you? Probably everything I just told him not to do, just to test me. Constantly pushing boundaries. She leaned her head against my shoulder. How come you haven't picked out your next girlfriend yet, Alex? She asked softly. I don't get to just pick them. There's a mutual element to it, you know. They have to pick me back. Semantics. How come? She argued. You haven't been without a girlfriend for more than a couple of weeks in the last 3 years. It can't be that hard. Lisa nudged her shoulder against my painful erection and giggled, before joining in. What's your process? I'd love to know. It's so easy for guys. They get to make all the decisions. We girls have to wait to see who's interested and then decide if we're willing to accept their choices. It's not that easy. Nobody likes to be shot down, or made fun of. Julie whispered softly. I'd never do that, Alex. I smiled, giving her a tender kiss. I know, Angel. She's right. Who around here would turn you down? Terry insisted. You mean besides you? Please. You're never serious, always teasing. How do you decide for real? I had never really given it much thought. I guess it starts with narrowing down the field. Who would I like to be with if I could? I guess I'm picky. Fun, pretty, smart, good company. I don't want just any girl. I imagine I'm like most guys. I have a list in my head of the top babes. I have enough of an ego to believe I deserve them. That got Lisa's attention, getting her to turn partially around again. She was getting naughtier. She lifted her arm and rested her wrist on my steely shaft. You've got to tell us. Who's on the list? Anybody here at camp? Spill. Terry chimed in, giving me a poke in the side. I felt Julie's lips by my ear. Please? She whispered before nibbling my earlobe. Shit. This was looking dangerous. So far, being open with them had been beyond interesting. I'd never expected any of what was going on. Two are here. Julie's voice betrayed her nervousness. Anyone we know? I reached around and gave her a warm hug, almost spilling her drink. You, pretty girl, are definitely high on the list. Her sweet smile was bright enough to light the heavens. Damned if I didn't see tears in her eyes. She hugged me tightly, whispering. Just ask. I kissed her forehead, waiting for the fallout from the other two. Who's the other? Terry asked, seeming more curious than anything. Dominique. Lisa moved her hand over my hardness, giving me a not-so-subtle squeeze. Dominique? Really? You hardly even speak to her. I know. She seems a little out of my league, and immune to my boyish good looks and boundless charm. Police. You've got to be kidding. She'd go for you in a heartbeat. I happen to know you're at the top of her list. You guys have lists? Well, duh. We all talk about it, just like you. I don't talk about it. I've never even told anybody but you three. Lisa was scratching her fingernails down my shaft, driving me crazy. We all talk. The guys we choose if we could. Who our favorites are. You must know you're on a lot of lists. Yours? I asked, teasing. She looked at me quite seriously, before nodding. But I guess I'm not on yours. She pouted, breaking my heart. I reached down and ran my fingers through her hair. True confession time. All three of you would make up the top of my list, except that two of you have issues. Lisa's unobtrusive stroking stopped. Issues? What kind of issues? Come on, Lisa. You're taken. There's no way anyone as fun, sweet, and gorgeous as you wouldn't be at the top of everyone's list, but once you're out of the game, you're off the list. Believe me, I wish you weren't, but I wouldn't do that to you or Daryl. So you're saying if I wasn't dating Daryl? Top three. Not number one? She asked with a smirk. You really think it's fair to ask? I glanced over at her sister. I take it I have issues too? Terry asked, her voice less playful. It's not cause I'm taken. No, it's not that. What is it? She asked sharply. I'd rather not say. I answered. Oh, right. You're suddenly Mr. Closemouth. Go ahead. Give it to me. What's the problem? You know. She was definitely irritated. Because I'm a virgin? Saving it? Now that's crazy. Every girl I've ever been with so far has been a virgin. Oh, Mr. Cherry Popper. How many virgins have you slain? 10? A dozen? More? Stop it, Terry. I said softly, trying to pull her closer. She fought me. Come on, I know you're dying to share. How many? I looked down at Lisa, and was disappointed to see she looked just as eager to find out. 3. I finally admitted. 3? Terry responded, sounding confused. Lisa chimed in as well. 3? You've dated more girls than that. 3. 3. That's it. Happy? I barked. Julie reached up and touched my cheek. Shh. She said. Nobody's judging you, Alex. Terry moved away from me. I call bullshit. I know more than that many who have told me they slept with you. Who? I asked. Who? She faltered. I can't say, but there's more. Who? I demanded sharply. I'll tell you who's lying. She got quiet for a moment. Angela. she said, challenging me. My girlfriend for over a year. And the only girl I'd slept with more than half a dozen times. True. Maria. My girlfriend before Angela. And my first. True. Denise. Nope. Didn't happen. Not even close. Second base. Terry looked at me in disbelief. You're kidding, right? She told us all about it, and I'll be honest, she made you sound awfully good. A lie. Didn't happen. Not every likely to. Not even in my top 10. Terry seemed shocked. Heather? Heather? Which Heather? Not Heather in your tent? I asked in open disbelief. She nodded. Jesus! Why would she say that? She doesn't even like me. I've never so much as kissed her. I thought your family stayed at the same resort last summer? Didn't you guys hook up? That's why she's mad at you. You used her and dumped her at the end of the summer. I shook my head in complete bewilderment. No. Not Heather. I did make a friend on that vacation, a local girl. We played around a good bit, but never went all the way. She was saving it. I gave Terry a meaningful glance. I'd have been willing to go out with Heather, but she was already involved with family friends and I didn't have a chance. Who? Terry asked. I'm not going to say. Come on. She lied about you, you could at least tell the truth about her. Terry argued. I don't talk about that stuff. Not to anyone. Not my relationship, not other people's. Sorry. Would you want me to be talking about you, if we did anything? Lisa had been hanging on every word. Caitlin? Graduated last year? I asked. Yeah. How did she know? That was the secret one. Totally private. But I wasn't going to veer from my path of honesty. Yep. Now you know all of them. Was it last spring break? Lisa insisted. Damn. She was good. And I knew where this was heading. Possibly. Terry interrupted. While you were still with Angela. And that's not cheating? No. Angie was there when it happened. And that's all I'm going to say on that subject. Lisa by this time had turned almost completely around and her breasts were cradling my hard on, intentionally or not. You're kidding. Both of them? They were best friends. It just happened, okay? Not planned and not repeated. At least not with both of them. I didn't think anybody knew. Can we drop it? Lisa put her hands on my chest. Alex, you have to share. They're not here. We won't tell. You wouldn't be hurting anyone. Pretty much everyone knows you were with them, just not at the same time. Funny, how I'm the one doing all the sharing. She leaned closer, moving up and down enough to make it clear to me at least, that she knew exactly where my cock was happily residing. Please. I promise, I'll tell you anything you want to know about me. Everything. She looked over at her sister. So will Julie. I swear. Right, Jules? Julie had remained quiet. Of course. I'll tell you anything. Terry sounded almost sad when she said. I'd tell you everything, if there was anything to tell. Or anything you didn't already know. I sighed. There's not that much to tell. And it never leaves this circle. Agreed? The girls all nodded in expectation, pulling in closer. The wind was really picking up, gusting, and I could hear the occasional drop of rain landing on the tarp overhead. Better get this show on the road. I stood and stepped around Lisa to tend the fire for a moment, while getting my thoughts in order. I took a large, courage-fortifying drink from my mug, and then moved back to my place on the log, with the three girls instantly molding themselves to me. Pretty incredible. It should be no surprise that Angela and I were doing a lot together. I was her first. She was my second. We did what we could when we could, but it wasn't enough for either of us. I lowered my voice, and looked around, before taking another big sip of the rum punch. I was starting to really feel it, which was good under the current situation. We went down to Caitlin's beach house over spring break. David was supposed to have come with us, but they broke up a couple of days before we went, so she was alone. She was really bummed out about it. He didn't know it, but that weekend she had plans to give him her virginity. She'd even gotten on the pill, in case it became a regular thing. Idiot didn't deserve her. Caitlin was a little irritated that every time her parents were gone for even a few minutes, Angela and I were going at it, sometimes leaving her on watch, reminding her of what she was missing out on. Lisa was driving me nuts, still pressing my cock between her breasts, while looking up at me while I spoke. Caitlin's aunt and uncle were supposed to come down for the second weekend, and her parents left us in their care. But the weather turned bad, and since all they do is golf every day, they decided to wait until after the storm blew over, leaving us alone. As soon as we got the word they were going to be delayed a couple of days, we started drinking and fooling around. Angela and I were getting bad, doing it anywhere and everywhere. We'd never been alone like that for so long. A house to ourselves. The first couple of times we did it around Caitlin, she'd just leave, but finally she just sat beside us, ignoring us, while Angela sat in my lap and we watched a movie together, screwing the whole time. The girls were clinging to my every word. I put my hand on Lisa and eased her away from me. You've got to stop that, beautiful, or I'm going to make a mess. She blushed hard, and moved back just a little. God, I can't believe I'm telling you guys this. I looked around to see if they wanted me to go on. It seemed obvious. We were getting more and more blatant. By the time the movie ended the first night, we were all pretty drunk. Angela and I were both naked, and Caitlin was wearing a threadbare t-shirt and panties. I'll be honest, it was driving me crazy to have her around. Are you guys always like this? Caitlin asked. Angela laughed at her. Never, I think he's getting off on having my best friend watch us. I was pretty worn out, but Angela slipped between my legs and took me in her mouth, right in front of Caitlin, shocking her. You're kidding me, right? Again, she gasped. I was tempted to beg off, but Angela changed my mind pretty quickly. Just one more. Help me, she asked. Terry gasped. She asked for her help? I nodded. She didn't ask for much. She pleaded with Caitlin to take off her shirt. Please, she asked. Caitlin did, then she rubbed her tits for me and moved in real close. She even told me I could touch them. Between Angela's blowjob and playing with Caitlin's big tits, I got hard again, and Angela climbed on my lap for another ride. I was still playing with Caitlin's tits, and she got on her knees and let me suck them. Apparently that worked Angie up even more than me. I heard the change in her breathing, felt a new urgency in her actions. I was getting a little crazy, touching Caitlin all over, sliding my hand into her panties, urging her to take them off, until she was naked and coming on my hand. Once her friend came for me, it set Angie off and she exploded, the first of many intense orgasms on that ride. But it seemed no matter how long we fucked, I wasn't going to come again. Angela eventually climbed off of me, and grabbed both of us by the hand and dragged us to the bed. Lisa was back to doing bad things with her tits and my cock. All three of you naked in bed? Is that when you screwed her? No. Everything but that. It was crazy. We spent that night, and the whole next day playing around. I was still screwing Angela, but I spent a lot of time underneath the two of them, with Caitlin parked on my face. They blew me together, and I could do pretty much anything I wanted except fuck Caitlin. At one point Angela even let Caitlin try me for just a minute, so yeah, I was inside of her, not the whole way, but enough to make it official. I just held her while she lay on top of me, and we didn't move. She seemed to like that a lot. Caitlin got so worked up she was even able to come for me, without my doing anything but hold her and kiss her. That was amazing. Really intense, feeling her shaking and trembling while she came for me. I had to pull out of her, and Angela finished me off with her mouth while Caitlin clung to me. After dinner that night, Angela finally gave in and said she wanted to see me do her friend. Take her virginity for real. God, I'm so jealous. Julie whispered to me. After almost 24 hours of having to stop short, given the green light I got a little crazy. I should have treated her gently, and made a special moment out of it, but I wanted her so bad I was burning up with desire. I got on top of her, and without any more foreplay, forced my entire length inside of her in one hard stroke, making her scream my name. Jesus, if y'all only knew what it was like to hear your name from a woman's lips while you're fucking her. It's like an adrenaline shot to the brain. We screwed for hours, and now I could take turns on them. I spent most of the time in Caitlin, since it was probably my one and only chance. Even after we went to sleep, I woke up and had Caitlin twice more. She got up to get a drink, and I followed her to the kitchen and did her on the table. I couldn't get enough of her. I probably spent 3 or 4 hours that night, constantly hard and always in somebody's mouth or pussy. It was epic. Best fucking night of my life. I sat back sipping my drink while Lisa slowly rubbed her tits up and down on my cock, completely open about it. She was rubbing her nipples against me, first one, then the other. The girl had no shame. God, there was so much to like about her. Where the hell had this come from? The next morning, Caitlin left us so I could have one more turn with Angela in private before the aunt and uncle arrived. We never even talked about it after that, although we'd occasionally drop hints, but it was clearly a one-time thing. I looked down at Lisa. Lisa, if you don't stop right now, I'm going to lose it. She had that look of a kid caught with her hand in the cookie jar. I'm sorry, but that was so fucking hot. Julie spoke up. And you guys never did it again? She got back together with David a week later. You didn't answer the question. Lisa said with a mischievous grin. Fine. Over the summer, after Angela and I ended it, and she went off to college, Caitlin and I got together a few times before she had to leave. I looked over at Terry. Those were the only three. Do you believe me now? Terry leaned against me. I'm sorry about what I said about cheating. I didn't know. I thought what they'd said was true. And that's our biggest issue. You and me. You don't trust me. You always think I'm lying to you and find the worst in anything I say. No, I don't. She argued, but she knew I was right, and her heart wasn't in it. I wish it wasn't true. I told her. I lifted her face to mine and gave her a kiss. How many times have I told you I like you and asked to move our relationship further? You're just teasing me. She said sullenly. See? You still don't believe me. I've never lied to you about that. Never. But you're always joking about stuff, like christening your castle. You're right, I do now. I joke because it's easier to take getting shot down if it sounds like I'm kidding than when I'm serious. You should have said something. Terry kept arguing. I sighed. Whatever. You're going to hear what you want to hear, and believe what you want to believe. And that's why you're no longer in my top five. I pulled back a bit, and made a show of looking at my watch. And now I'm going to go to bed, and so are you guys, like we promised Miss Shannon. And nobody is ever going to breathe a word of what I told you here tonight, to anybody. Right. Wait. Lisa said, grabbing me. I stopped. What? Who are the others? The ones that aren't here? I don't think it matters. I've made up my mind already, and they're no longer in the picture. I got up and started folding up the blanket. The wind was gusting hard, and I was afraid we were going to get hit with a big storm, not the showers predicted. The girls were still all standing around, as if they didn't know where to go. Finally, Terry came up to me and pulled me down for a kiss on the cheek.
I really am sorry, Alex. Do you think maybe we can talk about it a little tomorrow?
I gave her a hug.
Bestest girl since sixth grade? I'll always have time for you.
She hugged me back, gave me another peck and headed for her tent. Looking around, I could see we were the last ones up. The main fire was deserted.
Good night, girls.
I said, heading to my tent for one of the half dozen tarps I'd brought. I took it back to our woodpile, covering it, and before I knew it, the sisters were helping me. I scattered the fire so it could burn out.
It's starting to rain. I've got this. You guys should go to bed.
Julie came to me, wrapping her arms around my neck.
Thanks for sharing with us. This was the greatest night ever.
She drew me down for a long hot kiss that curled my toes. Afterwards, she looked over toward her sister.
Go ahead, Lisa said. I'll be with you in a second. I'm going to take down this fly, so it doesn't blow away.
I explained to Lisa, who still gave no indication of leaving. I didn't put the fly away, I just took it down, folding it up in thirds and staked it down thoroughly. Lisa helped. When I was done, she moved next to me.
You and I need to talk, okay? Don't make any big decisions before we chat, please.
I was afraid she was going to try to make her sister off limits. That was going to be an ugly chat. It must have showed on my face. She slid her hand in mine.
Nothing bad, Alex, I promise. It's just that tonight has been eye-opening.
She moved in for a hug, as the bigger raindrops started falling.
I had a great time with you tonight. A lot better than I expected to be totally honest. I think I had let your rep get to me.
Rep?
We'll talk about it tomorrow. Can I have a kiss goodnight too?
She needn't have asked. I kissed her there under the trees for several minutes, getting acquainted with much of her awesome body.
It was surreal, holding her in the soft rain. Go, you're going to get soaked.
I told her, turning her away, and patting her ass. She blew me a kiss, and ran over to her tent. I walked over to Miss Shannon's tent.
Shannon, you still awake?
I asked softly, trying to avoid attention. It was silent for a moment.
What are you up to, Mr. Hamilton?
Oh. Mr. Hamilton. She was not happy with me.
The girls have gone to bed. Everyone else too. It looks like a storm is coming. I'm going to secure a few things around the camp. I wanted you to know, in case you heard anything going on out here.
She poked her head out of the opening, looking up at me.
Thank you. I'm sorry I snapped at you.
No problem.
Stay in there and keep warm. It looks like the storm could be bad.
I knelt down in front of her, reaching out and stroking her hair brazenly.
Wouldn't want my favoritest teacher in the world getting wet on my account. Don't mistreat those girls. They're good kids.
She said softly, almost pleading. She didn't pull away from my hand, as I ran my fingers through her hair.
Wouldn't dream of it. We really had a nice talk. I've never had a chance to talk to girls like that, so openly. Not even with my girlfriends. It was good. I learned a lot.
She rolled her eyes at me.
That's all we need.
She reached up and gave my hand a squeeze.
Thanks for helping, and for keeping your troublemaking to a minimum.
She gave me a big grin at the end.
Anything for you.
I teased her with a similar grin, inching closer. She sighed.
Go on now, before one of us says or does something stupid.
I leaned forward and saw her tremble for a second before my lips reached her forehead.
Good night, Shannon.
Good night, Alex. She watched me for a second before disappearing back into her tent. I was getting drenched by this time. I ran back to the fire and picked up where we'd been sitting. My mug, canteen, and windbreaker were still there. I slid the windbreaker on, pulling the internal hood over my head, and made my way down to the main site. I scattered the logs, figuring to let it burn itself out, keeping it going a little longer as a light source if nothing else. I had little fear of it getting out of control with the rain coming. It took about 10 minutes, but I put away my stuff and secured the eating area as best I could. I stood outside my tent, in the covered vestibule, stripping off my wet clothing and drying off with the towel I had used at the river that day. By the time I got in the tent, I knew it was going to be a bad one. The wind was whistling through the trees, and it was raining hard. In my tent, I organized my stuff, moving everything as far from the entrance as I could. I closed up most of the mesh windows, since it was getting cold. I was worried about the camp. I pulled together an outfit to wear if I had to go back out, including an ugly but utilitarian rain poncho. My clothing was stacked outside of the backpack, leaving all my miscellaneous gear in the pack. I realized I had to take a leak and stood in the vestibule, pissing out the side, when the first loud thunderclap hit. It was like an announcement, and the rain became a pounding wall of water.
Shit.
Back in my tent, I relaxed in my sleeping bag. Even the massive storm outside couldn't completely distract me from thoughts about what had happened that night. The discussion, the hugging, the kissing, the soft tits encasing my cock. I was hard, recalling it all, stroking myself slowly, wondering what Julie was going to be like. She was mine. I could feel it. And nothing her sister was going to say was going to change that. Damn, she had a tight little body. And it had been months since I'd gotten any. The sudden pounding of hail came as a surprise, pelting my tent. I peeked out the entrance, but it was pitch black outside, what little light the fire was producing struggling to reach the inside of my vestibule. I hunted down my flashlight, and was more than a little shocked to see that the batteries were all but dead.
Some prepared, huh?
At least I had a backup. I found my pen light and looked around. Big hail, some of them the size of a nickel.
Crap.
We were going to have some very unhappy campers before the night was out. I was certain of that. Chapter 02. The storm was in full force, rain and occasionally hail pelting the campground. I was warm and dry, but wondered if that would be true for everyone else, if the storm continued for long. I lay back down, closing my eyes and concentrating on images of Julie doing what her sister had done, while wearing less clothing. Much less. Back to stroking my hardness. I needed relief, after the exquisite torture Lisa had subjected me to. Maybe Lisa wouldn't be against us. Hell, maybe she'd even play along. Sisters? How cool would that be? The image in my brain became the two of them, their mouths on my hardness, taking turns pleasuring me. The storm was so loud and noisy, I didn't hear her until she repeated herself. Alex, can we come in please? Please? I retrieved my penlight and peered outside. Terry and Heather stood there, soaked to the bone. I grabbed my towels and unzipped the entrance.
What happened?
I asked, passing the girls both my towels, one still slightly wet.
Our tent collapsed. It's filling with water.
Crap. Dry off, and I'll get you something to wear, okay? I grabbed two of my t-shirts and held them out to my visitors. Take everything off, and put these on. Terry took the shirts, shivering. She leaned over, whispering.
You're naked, Alex, and putting on quite a show.
Whoops. My dick was still hard, and waving in the wind. I ducked back into my tent, searching for my boxers. A little more presentable, I moved the sleeping bag and unfolded the pad underneath, so it would cover more area. I found a garbage bag, and handed it out the door, into the darkness.
Here's a bag. Put your wet stuff in it. Can we have a flashlight?
Terry asked. Damn. I was supposed to be the prepared outdoorsman. Here I was doing everything wrong. I passed her my penlight, and waited in the dark. A couple of minutes later Terry entered the tent.
We're going to get dressed in here. We would just have gotten the shirts wet outside. Don't look, okay?
I laughed. The darkness was complete.
I wish I could, but it's too damn dark.
Heather spoke up for the first time.
Is it okay if I come in too, Alex?
Of course.
Plenty of room. I heard the rustling, and the girls whispering. The light turned on, and they were standing by the entrance.
Where should we go?
Terry asked. They were both shivering uncontrollably. The temperature outside must have dropped 20 degrees in the last hour.
Get in the sleeping bag before you freeze.
She handed me the penlight, and I waited until they were in the bag before I went to the doorway. I checked on their wet clothing, moving the bag where it wouldn't blow away or fill up with water, and hung up the towels inside the tent, so they could dry a bit. I zipped the entrance closed, keeping out any stray rain. The vestibule roof was snapping in the wind, but it was doing a decent job of keeping the water out. I flashed the light over the bag, and the girls were at each end, looking back at me nervously. I climbed in between them, reaching out for Terry.
You alright?
I felt her skin, and she was chilled to the bone.
Cold,
she admitted. I pulled her closer, and she leaned into me, her body and legs icy.
You're warm,
she said. I looked over at Heather, who was shivering silently.
Come over here and warm up,
I told her. She didn't hesitate, moving in close. I wrapped my arm around her, and held them both, until the shivering stopped. Terry rested her head on my chest. She giggled.
He's like a furnace.
Heather nodded.
Thank God. I thought we were going to freeze to death. I'm going to turn off the light now, save the batteries.
I twisted the top and tucked it into the pocket on the side of the tent behind my head. Heather lifted up while I did it, but snuggled into my side as soon as I was done. I'd never have predicted that, not from her, but she was wonderful to hold. We were quiet while I held them, letting them warm up. The only sound was the beating of the rain on the tent, until the silence was broken by Heather's sobs. I gave her a squeeze.
Shh. Everything's cool, okay? You're warm and safe now.
She hugged me tightly, burying her face into my chest. Terry ran her hand down my chest.
I feel like an idiot. I'm so sorry that I didn't believe you about who you'd slept with. I should have trusted you. Should have known better.
I felt Heather tense up next to me. I rubbed my hand over her back.
Relax, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it,
I said to her.
What did you tell her?
Heather asked eventually, hesitantly.
The truth. As much as I wish otherwise, nothing happened between us that summer. It was an accident,
she said, and I felt her trembling again.
It's okay. Really?
I held her tight, still rubbing her back briskly, trying to get her warm.
No, it's not. I shouldn't have said it. I was telling someone about my summer wildness, and when they asked who it was, I was too embarrassed to say it was my cousins. You were the first person who came to mind since you were there. I'm sorry, Alex.
Your cousins? As in plural? Cousins?
Terry asked.
Don't tease her, Terry. We've all done things we'd rather not see the light of day.
Heather sighed.
No kidding. What a screw up. All's forgiven,
I told her.
Water under the bridge.
Terry giggled, and I felt her lips pressed against my chest.
How many girls do you think he's been with, Heather?
Terry,
I warned, smacking her rear loud enough to hear it.
What happened to keeping our talk secret?
Sorry,
she said, leaning into me and throwing her leg over mine. I leaned down and gave her a soft kiss, which she returned nicely.
8? 10?
Heather asked, curiosity getting the better of her.
You can tell her, Alex. It's just us. You won't tell, right, Heather?
Hell no.
I owe him big time. First for not calling me out when I lied about us, and now for saving my freezing butt. She gave me a squeeze, tucking her head into my neck.
I promise, Alex. I'll be good.
Alex? Terry pleaded, her hand moving across my stomach, her leg moving back and forth across mine. Heather wasn't behaving any better, her leg draped over mine as well. I surrendered.
You can tell her.
Three, Terry said quickly.
Three? Angela, Maria, and who else?
I chuckled.
Since when is my love life so important?
Since you only date older girls, leaving your classmates wanting. Terry quipped.
What's with that anyway? Aren't we good enough for you?
I gave her a kiss. I kind of liked all this kissing in the dark. I missed the lips as often as not, but a little seeking around did the job.
Haven't you learned anything tonight?
You've always been more than good enough for me. Heather snuggled in closer. If that was possible. My hand was stroking her back, all the way down to her backside. I pulled the back of her shirt up a bit, feeling her smooth skin underneath. I was hard as a rock. I knew they were bound to notice soon.
Who else?
Heather asked again.
Caitlin Thomas, Terry said.
She was kissing my neck and I was having a hard time keeping it together.
Wow. Not Denise?
Nope, another liar, she said with a fair amount of animosity.
Like Aaron.
And Naomi. Heather got quiet.
I said I was sorry.
No more sorries, okay? Denise never had a chance anyway.
I don't mind you saying we were together.
Believe me, given half a chance, it would have been true. I felt her moving against me, her hand wandering down my body.
For real?
I reached over, felt for her face, and brought my lips to hers.
Of course. You're pretty amazing, when you're not pretending to be pissed at me for dumping you.
Terry giggled.
Would she make your list?
Solid top five last year. I admitted.
One of two from our class.
List? Heather asked. I jumped a bit when I felt a hand settle over my cock. It took me a couple of seconds to realize it was Terry. I stifled a moan, feeling her grip me.
His favorite girls. The girls he'd date if he could.
Shit.
And I kicked myself off your list, huh?
Temporarily. I kissed her again, a little longer.
I think if everything was cool between us, you'd be back in the running.
She giggled.
Don't make me grovel, Alex.
As of now, you're my hero. She pressed her lips to my ear, barely whispering.
Let me show you.
Terry's hand left my cock, and reached for my head, turning me toward her for a kiss. Things got quiet after that, and I spent several minutes alternating between kissing the cuties lying with me. It was getting more intense, each of the girls practically crawling on me when it was their turn. Hands were moving all over me, commonly landing on my cock, giving me soft squeezes and light strokes. The extra-large t-shirts didn't offer a lot of protection. The girls were practically swimming in them. I had access to both of their bare asses under the bottom of their borrowed tees. Quite nice asses, if still a bit cool to the touch. I was bad, pulling up their shirts higher, sliding my hand inside, fondling their soft breasts. I was in heaven. Heather was lying fully on top of me, my cock trapped between her closed legs, my hand cupping her butt cheek, while we quietly kissed and learned about each other. A guy could get used to this.
Alex!
I heard Lisa shout from the entrance. Heather slid off of me, and I scrambled out of the sleeping bag, grabbing for my light. I heard Terry whisper.
Shit!
Making me smile. The rain had not let up a bit. I opened the doorway and flashed the light around to find Lisa and Julie standing there, thoroughly waterlogged. The water was pouring off of them.
A stream filled our tent!
Lisa sobbed. They looked even worse off than my first two guests. I passed her the penlight, and the wetter of the two towels.
Strip down, dry off, and then come in. I'll get you something to wear.
I stumbled over the girls in the bag, moving to the back of the tent, searching through my stuff. I had one shirt left, and the one I had been wearing which was still wet. The one drying outside couldn't be in good shape.
Crap.
What? Terry asked.
I'm out of shirts. I only have one left.
I felt her moving then she was pressing her shirt into my hand.
I'm warm enough. You can use mine.
Thanks, baby.
Mine from today will be drier by morning. I'll make sure you're taken care of.
I know. I moved toward the entrance, and had a short glimpse of the naked sisters before they turned off the light and entered the tent. I reached forward and felt a leg.
Here's a couple of shirts. Put them on.
I was kneeling in front of them, grabbed the nearest towel, and dried the legs in front of me.
Sit down here, and let me get your feet.
I told her. The girls struggled into their shirts.
Decent?
I asked.
Yes.
I heard Lisa manage through, chattering teeth.
Give me the light.
She found my hand and pressed the penlight into it. I turned on the light, illuminating the sleeping bag. Heather and Terry were looking back at us. Lisa almost leaped out of the tent.
You're not alone?
No, their tent collapsed half an hour ago. She just stood there shaking.
Jesus, Lisa. Take a seat so I can dry your feet.
You too, Julie, sit down. Both girls sat down on the sleeping bag. Lisa's legs were trembling badly. I held them in my lap and dried her calves and feet as well as I could.
In the bag with you.
I scooted over to Julie and pulled her legs into my lap. The angle of the penlight on the sleeping bag was pointed toward her, and when I looked up, I had a breathtaking view between her legs. If she had any hair there, it was so blonde and fine as to be almost invisible. I dried between her toes, then moved to the second leg. She bent the leg I'd finished with, moving it out of the way, spreading her legs open. Pretty pink slice screaming out to me for attention. Jesus, I was blessed.
Done, get in there and warm up, Angel.
Julie crawled into the bag, and I got a brief view of her bare ass pointed my way before she struggled into the middle of the bag. I looked for my blanket, sitting near the entrance. It was still dry, and 100% wool. It would keep me warm even if it got wet. I wrapped it around my shoulders, sitting by the entrance.
"What are you doing?" Terry asked.
"I'll be fine. You guys warm up and get some sleep."
"No way.
There's plenty of room in here for all of us." I smiled.
"No, there's not. It's a two-man bag.
Four people is already pushing it." The sisters were huddled together in the middle, shivering. Heather apparently was on Terry's side.
"Try.
Besides, they'll still freeze to death without our furnace in here." I watched Terry and Heather move to the very outside edges of the bag, and then they were pulling the girls apart, snuggling up to them.
"See?"
Terry said. I moved to the middle, and with a little effort I was able to wiggle my way in. I pulled each of the sisters close, Lisa on Terry's side, and Julie with Heather toward the front of the tent. They clung to me, their bodies shaking all over, teeth still chattering. Within moments they were sandwiched between our warm bodies, and starting to warm up. Julie was the first to speak.
"Everything was fine. It was cold, and the rain was loud, but the tent was holding up. Then all of a sudden it filled up with water, at least 3 or 4 inches deep. Everything got soaked.
Bad location." I tried to warn most of them. "No need rubbing it in. You're safe now. This tent isn't going anywhere, and we're high enough that we shouldn't get any runoff." I was keenly aware of Terry's bare breasts pressed against the arm I was holding Lisa with. Lisa finally spoke.
"He is a furnace, isn't he?"
Heather giggled.
"Told you so."
Both of the sisters were leaning over me, clinging to me for warmth.
"Light's going out, okay?"
"Okay,"
Lisa answered, while Julie nodded. I held them in the dark, my mind going nuts with the crazy situation. Eventually the shivering stopped.
"Feeling a little better?"
I asked Julie. She kissed my neck.
"A lot better."
Lisa squeezed me tight.
"Me too, thanks. How was it out there?"
"A couple of tents down, but I think there were people still in them. One other tent was full of water, but empty.
I don't know where they went,"
Lisa explained. I heard the zipper on the end of the sleeping bag.
"What are you doing, Heather?"
"I'm going to open the side, and use your blanket doubled up on the end to give us a little more room. Make sure you tuck lots of it under the sleeping bag, or you'll be freezing in a while." It wasn't a bad idea. At the moment we were cocooned, with barely room to breathe.
"All right."
I heard her moving around, and my arm was no longer trapped against Julie's back. I stroked her softly, and hugged her close. She moved up to kiss me, and I let my hand caress her hip while she did. When I turned toward Lisa, I found her face next to mine, bumping our heads with a giggle before kissing her as well. She climbed on top of me, letting Terry scoot in closer, and freeing up my hand to do a little wandering of its own.
"See,"
she whispered.
"Plenty of room."
We kissed long and deep, and I felt her hips grinding against my hardness. I loved the feel of her, and could smell a hint of her shampoo in her hair. She was an aggressive kisser, but I wasn't complaining.
"Share a sissy,"
Julie whispered plaintively. With a sigh, she started sliding off of me, and I scooted toward Julie, before she took over her sister's place. I straightened her out on me, and was very aware of her legs opening, and my hard cock pressing against her. Fucking incredible. A few minutes of kissing and bare-bottom fondling later, I was a little surprised to hear Terry whisper.
"Sure?"
Julie gave me a last deep kiss, nibbling on my lip, and moved off of me. Terry climbed over Lisa and on top of me.
"Are you naked?"
Lisa whispered. I thought it was funny everyone was whispering. The storm was still pounding outside, the rain was like drumsticks against the skin of tent.
He ran out of shirts. "I gave you guys mine, so you could warm up."
No more talk after that. Just more delightful kissing, touching and rubbing. Her bare skin encouraged me to reach for her soft tits, feeling her hard little nipples. Terry's nipples. It was a long-time fantasy of mine, and I was wallowing in it.
"Okay,"
she mumbled, and I realized someone must have tapped her or something to get her to move. She slid down between Lisa and me, and then Heather was mounting me, dressed only in her birthday suit. I didn't say anything, accepting her generous offer. It was amazing, total silence in the pitch-black darkness and girls moving on top of me switching off every couple of minutes. Soft flesh pressing against me. Pillowy tits mashed against my body. Full-ass cheeks bared to my touch. It was difficult to keep track of who was who, even more so when they started switching sides. I don't know how long it went on, before I realized they were all naked. Not a shred of clothing anywhere. I felt hands at my waist, pushing my boxers down. It came from my right side, but I had no inkling of who it was. My hands were getting braver, naughtier, exploring between their legs, feeling warm moistness in contrast to their cool skin. The movement was often awkward, knees, elbows and hips bumping against each other, heads butting together, toenails scraping. I heard the occasional whisper, but never directed to me. I felt they were scheming, but under the decadent avalanche of teen flesh, who was I to complain? During the movement, hands would frequently grasp for my cock, tugging on it, stroking me, squeezing. Fucking incredible. Whoever was on top of me opened her legs and reached for my cock.
"Who?"
I started to ask, and I was hushed from all sides. Soft lips closed over mine from the side, efficiently quieting me. I felt myself entering a tight warmth, and I groaned. She settled over me with exquisite slowness. My arms were pinned down by the young angels parked on each side of me, their taut bodies immobilizing me. The girl kissing me slowed down, her mouth barely covering mine.
I could feel her lips turn back in a smile, as I gasped, my cock completely enveloped in velvety moist sweetness. I was balls deep in one of these amazing girls. She rose up to the very limit, and I felt naughty questing fingers searching out where we were joined, a curious fingernail stroking my length in advance of that fantastic feeling pussy descending over me with torturous slowness. Another mouth moved over mine, and I groaned at the sensory overload while two tongues, side by side, explored my mouth. The girl's kissing me pulled back, and the new love of my life gave my cock one long stroke inside of her before lowering herself to my body and delivering a sweet kiss which I welcomed. The teasing hands were still roaming around our lower connection, adding an unimaginably magical sensation to this perfect moment. My new lover settled into an exquisite rhythm, riding my full length with a slow inexorable motion. She eased back and forth for only a minute or so, and moved off before it got to be too much. When she pulled off of me I wanted to cry. It was a good thing my arms were trapped beneath the girl's at my side, or I would have grabbed her and pulled her back onto my cock until I achieved my desperately needed release. My next companion wasn't as prone to surrender everything, content to grind against me, her body writhing against mine. My hands were freed, allowing me to fondle her to my heart's content, and I breathed a sigh of relief, my need to come momentarily ameliorated. She gave me a last long kiss and moved away. Another body eased onto me, and I groaned in feverish anticipation when her legs embraced me, an invisible hand holding my cock steady, poised to enter another teen hottie. My hands moved up to her thighs, but they were pulled back to the sides and encouraged to take up residence between the thighs of my soft bookends. Sliding my fingers inside of my special friends, my cock slowly penetrated another tight young pussy, teasing hands still joining that molten slot on my cock. The cloud of sexual ecstasy faded from my brain long enough for me to wonder who was fucking me. Two girls now. My guess was Heather and Lisa were the suddenly generous ones. Terry I knew was saving it, and I suspected Julie was still a virgin. This girl knew what she was doing, her upper body remaining pretty still while her hips gave me a hell of a working over, slamming down onto my stiffness over and over again. She rose up on her hands, and the girl to my left moved in for a hot as hell kiss. I pulled away. Stop! I moaned softly. All I got was a chorus of hushes. Abruptly I was unsheathed and my silent rider was inside the bag, her mouth finishing me off. The feel of her tongue bathing me was beyond description, the current situation only making it more intense. I moaned, as I filled her anonymous mouth, exploding harder than I ever had in my life, coming continuously. God! Oh God, oh God! Was my groaned prayer of thanks. I finished in that incredible mysterious mouth, my heart hammering in my chest, barely able to breathe. I was treated to lots of attention from the girls on each side of me, while that warm wondrous mouth restored me to hardness. It didn't take long, with the thought of getting inside one of those tight little pussies again. Sweet Jesus, I was getting fucked by the school's hottest girls. I wanted this perfect storm to never end. I felt my dear cock tender move away, and the body on my left moved on top of me. It was strange. I was thinking less of them as individuals, and more as soft tender bodies, delivered to me for my pleasure. Another kisser, she closed her legs holding me tight, while I thrust up between them. One of my more intimate girls replaced her, sliding onto me easily. I was tired of being passive. I tore my hands free, reached for her hips, raising her up, and started thrusting into her, looking for a rhythm I could sustain. She lowered her chest to mine, soft tits pressed against my chest, tilted her hips upward and I found the feeling I was looking for. I started hammering away forcefully, firm ass gripped tightly in my hands while I pounded upward. They had driven the action so far, but I was starting to take over, holding this girl's hips high as I fucked her into submission. I probably could have worked out who was who, but it was certainly more fun and exciting this way. I didn't know. I didn't care. Her moans accelerated, and I felt her tremble. Come for me. I whispered into her ear, straining at the intense pace. She gasped. Oh God! And dug her fingernails into my skin, coming hard. I held her firmly, long stroking her while she caught her breath. More hands joined mine, caressing her, touching her softly. When she moved away, I eagerly drew my next girl on top of me. She spread her legs for me, and I was determined to make my other lover come like the last. Let the two virtuous girls see what it was like. I felt her hand guiding me home. I was going to fuck her senseless. Lips were pressed against my ear from the side. Gentle. She breathed softly. Please. Gentle? Oh God. Was it possible? I felt the girl move slowly, awkwardly, my cock turning to granite at the possible prospect of being her first. She whimpered softly, then I felt the tip enter her. She stopped, laying against my chest for a few moments, and I caressed her, gently, warmly. She rose up and pushed down slowly. I felt the pressure increase, her tightness impenetrable. I held her smooth, tight-ass cheeks in my hands and with a hard thrust on my end, I was abruptly inside of her. She cried out softly, her hands gripping me tightly, nails piercing my flesh, an echo of my own piercing. I was achingly aware of everything about her, the moment so clarifying, unimaginably intense. I immediately discerned it was young Julie skewered on my cock, much smaller than the others. Her head didn't even reach my chin when I was fully buried inside of her. The large soft tits pressed against my skin only confirmed my guess. I leaned down and kissed the top of her head, my hand softly stroking her back. She started moving on me, and I slid in and out of her, short, gentle strokes, not probing her too deeply, yet still wringing breathy moans and whimpers out of her. I reached down and held her perfect little butt in my hands while I used more of my length on her.
She trembled, letting me fuck her tenderly before she pushed back against me, stopping me. She inched forward, pulling off my cock and kissed me heatedly. I held her carefully, wrapping my arms around her, kissing her as warmly as possible, doing my best to let her know how much I appreciated her gift. I felt a hand around my cock after she got off, a cloth wiping me down, before my next rider climbed aboard. I alternated fucking Lisa and Heather, and groping Terry, for several more rides, each of them getting a little wilder and more intense. The sleeping bag was shifting downward, the cool air on our skin, making their pert little nipples harden under my touch. The time spent actually fucking was growing longer, sweeter, allowing me more time to enjoy each girl. The pauses between the girls, and the interludes with Terry allowed me to extend my stamina, taking the edge off. The rain was starting to abate a bit, steady, but not the torrent of earlier. Things were quieter, and the air warmed from the proximity of our bodies, and our energetic calisthenics. The room was growing almost comfortable. When Julie finally took her turn again, I knew instantly it was her. The young sex bot settled onto my cock, slow and careful, tenderly taking me home. I tried to be gentle with her, unlike my performances with Lisa and Heather, who I speared with great abandon. I enjoyed the sweet ride, calming a little after my last aggressive pounding. Julie started moving with me, responding, her movements more accommodating and less enduring. I swear at one point she purred for me. She was exciting me to no end, and it was only with the greatest effort that I didn't take her more forcefully. I loved her gently, easily, until she was comfortable with me, momentarily sated, and drew away, with a lingering kiss. Our tent was becoming a haven of mind-numbing sexuality. I was getting a little crazy, playing with mysterious tits, screwing anonymous pussies, fondling perfect tight bodies, and kissing generous lips. I didn't ask permission, or even check their preferences. I did what I wanted with whatever I could get my hands on. And I loved it. After Julie, my next rider sat upright and fucked me hard, riding me like she was born to it. A natural cowgirl. I reached up and gripped her tits, playing with them, teasing her nipples, all in the pitch black, all by feel. Another epiphany. Big tits. Lisa was riding me like she was born to it. Working in the dark so much seemed to heighten my sensations, particularly touch. It was too much, and I had to warn her. I'm close. I moaned softly. Whoever was beside me moved downward, and as soon as my cowgirl dismounted, a mouth settled over me, working devotedly, taking only a minute or so to drain me again. I groaned when I felt another mouth join hers, and the two of them proceeded diligently to restore the iron to my rod, and keep the games going. While they did their part, my face was enveloped in two sets of full, amazing, absolutely glorious tits. Only two girls I knew had tits like these. The fabulous Samuelson sisters. Big, full and soft, and remarkably similar. And now I knew they were topped with the sweetest, firmest, tastiest nipples which responded to my attention in the most amazing way. I was struck with the thought that with the fabulous sisters up here, Virgin Terry was one of those working on me down below. She might be saving it for marriage, but she clearly wasn't saving everything. I'd have to thank her. That little interlude gave me a chance to sort everything out, whether I wanted to or not. Lisa on my left feeding her nipple into my mouth, newly deflowered Julie on my right clinging to me as if her life depended on it. On my left, below, was my sweet rider, Heather, who could fuck like a minx. I think I owed her cousins a debt of gratitude. Meaning the sweet mouth going down on me was none other than my darling Terry. As fun as the mystery play had been, knowing who was who, plus the knowledge it was the Puritan Terry whose mouth was caring for me so delightfully, had the steel surging into my shaft. Ready for Act 3. What I wasn't ready for was the sisters moving apart so that Terry could claim top spot. The sleeping bag had been pushed down to my knees and she was straddling my hips, hers raised to grant me that most intimate access. I couldn't stay quiet.
Are you sure?
Lisa pressed her sweet lips to mine.
Sure.
Julie breathed into my ear.
It has to be you, Alex.
I found myself trembling in anticipation. I'd fantasize about having Terry more than anyone ever. Not because I found her so much more desirable than any of the other girls, but because I'd wanted her for so long, since I first got an erection. One of my longest-running fantasies finally on the verge of coming true. Suddenly I hated being in the dark. I wanted to see this. I wanted to see her pretty naked body settling over my cock. I desperately wanted to watch Terry's cute little tits bouncing with wild abandon while she fucked me into sweet oblivion. I could feel Terry moving over my cock. It was pressed against my belly, while her moist pussy slid back and forth over it. Her hands pressed down against my chest, and she lifted up, ready for me. A flashlight beam played across the inside of the tent, illuminating Terry in her resplendent nudity, poised above me, if only briefly.
Alex? I need your help.
The sound of Miss Shannon's voice had the girls scrambling under the covers, and I was run over by sweet soft flesh in their mad scurry.
I'm coming.
I announced loudly, grabbing for the penlight.
I'm turning on the flashlight.
I announced quietly, and with its narrow beam I searched through my clothes pile for shorts to wear. It took a few more moments to slip them on, and I barely made it before the zippered front opened and Miss Shannon poked her head in.
Are you decent?
She asked. I scrambled for the entrance, heedless of the squirming bodies underneath me. At the last moment I leaned over to Lisa, closest to the door, and gave her the penlight. Miss Shannon shined her light in, running it over me.
Are you all right, Alex?
I'm fine.
I assured her, moving forward until she backed out. I climbed out after her. There was enough light for me to see she was soaked.
How are you?
You look pretty miserable.
She gave me a tired smile. It's been a rough night.
What can I do? I asked.
First, you can tell me what's going on in that tent.
Nothing's going on. Which was technically true, now that I had left. But it's pretty full. Terry and Heather came first, when their tent collapsed. Then an hour or so ago, Lisa and Julie showed up when theirs flooded. Soaked to the skin and chilled to the bone. I thought I saw a lot of bare flesh in there. She said with a raised eyebrow. I pointed out the plastic bag.
Their wet clothes. I gave them the 3 dry shirts I had, but I was one short. Terry's wearing nothing but my boxers.
But she's as pure as can be, and besides, I've known her since we were kids, and seen her naked more than once. Anyway, she has the least to cover up on top. She seemed the safest bet. I guess that's why you're barely dressed. She observed, looking me over.
And getting cold out here.
What can I do for you? The camp's a mess. Half the tents are down and flooded. I was hoping we could put some people in here, but it looks like you're nearly full up. Can you help us put together some kind of shelter?
The rain was still falling, but the front had clearly passed. Hard to tell how much longer it would come down. The wind was almost non-existent, and I hadn't heard thunder in hours.
I figure we can do something half-decent now that the wind has died down.
How can I help? She asked.
How's your tent doing?
Not so good.
I wasn't high enough to avoid the flooding either.
I took the flashlight from her, and she gave it up readily. I ran it over her, and saw my first guess was right. She was soaked, chilled, and half-dead on her feet.
Get dried off and warmed up before you catch pneumonia. I'm going to find John and set up a shelter and fire for anybody who needs it. You get inside with the others before you pass out.
I can't do that. She said.
I'm responsible for everyone.
Where's Dr. Reed?
She looked like she wanted to spit. More useless than tits on a bull. He's still in his tent, won't let anybody in. I'm not so certain he's alone, either.
Ellen?
That would be my guess.
Stupid asshole.
I moved forward and took her in my arms, holding her.
You're freezing, Shannon. I'll take care of things from here.
Dry off, warm up, and try to get a little sleep. I'll let you know when things are taken care of.
You sure about this?
Positive. I moved over to the tent entrance.
Miss Shannon's coming in.
Find her a pair of my boxers, and Heather, you let her wear your shirt.
I turned back to her.
I'm going to borrow your flashlight, if you don't mind. Take off those wet things and dry off the best you can out here. There's a towel by the door you can finish the job with once you get inside. If you're shy, they'll turn off the flashlight until you're clothed.
She nodded.
Why have Heather give me her shirt?
I chuckled.
Truth be told, if I were to come back later and see either you or one of those sisters topless, I'm not sure I could be responsible for my actions.
Heather?
Heather and I have issues.
She chuckled.
You are one cocky little son of a bitch, aren't you?
I took her in my arms again.
Go on.
You've earned it.
I took the biggest chance I had in my short life and raised her chin, giving her a soft lingering kiss on her lips.
You know there's nothing I wouldn't do for my favorite teacher, Shannon. Let me take care of this for you.
She pulled me down and kissed me back, brief but firm.
Thanks, Alex.
I knew I could count on you.
I gave her a squeeze.
Always.
The air was cool, but not horribly so. Walking around shirtless wasn't that bad.
I had kept the water out of my eyes as I surveyed the camp devastation.
It was ruined.
John, you out here?
I called out.
I heard him answer from over by the meal area.
Alex, that you?
Yeah.
I wandered his way, and saw a pretty miserable-looking crowd huddled under the table, a tarp above them, trying to stay warm.
It was a mixed crowd, and John was holding Dominique in his arms.
Lucky bastard.
It might prove hard to get him out of there.
You look like shit.
He observed, grinning.
Feel like it, too.
I need your help, we gotta do better than this.
I nodded toward his makeshift setup.
Why is it always gotta be my help?
He griped, with a nod toward the lovely Dominique huddled in his arms.
Cause I hate you, especially right now.
He grinned, leaned down and gave Dominique a kiss on the cheek. He peeled off his jacket and wrapped it around her shoulders.
He climbed out from underneath his haven, peeling off his shirt.
Fucker had pecs like slabs of concrete and some serious abs.
I love you too.
You say the sweetest things.
Let's go, Dickweed.
He laughed, following me back to my area.
That's Mr. Big Dickweed to you.
When we'd put a little distance between ourselves and the meal area, I had to bust his chops.
Dominique?
Really?
How the fuck does a limp dick cocksucker like you rate someone like that?
Ill wind that blows no good.
She was in need, and I was there.
Jealous much?
I didn't mention what was in my tent at that moment, or what we'd been up to.
Hell yeah.
Jealous as shit.
God, for a moment there I had a suicidal urge to jump in and fight you for her.
You think it'll stick?
You gonna interfere?
He asked cautiously.
He was well aware of my interest in her.
At least before tonight.
With you?
No.
Any other fuckwad around here, I'd have to kick their ass just to make a point.
He laughed, bumping up against me as we got to my tent area.
You know I didn't intend anything, right?
It just happened, and how the hell was I going to turn away an opportunity like that?
You'd be an idiot if you did.
And I know you're no idiot, all kidding aside.
I really would have had to kick your ass if you fumbled an opportunity like that one.
I hope it outlasts the weekend.
Thanks.
Anyway, seemed you were doing pretty well with the big-titted blonde sisters.
Yeah.
No complaints.
I wondered if they could hear us. We were only 20 or so feet from the tent, but I knew the rain on the tent made it almost impossible to hear anything outside. Hell, I couldn't hear someone yelling from the entrance. I want to set up this fly for a shelter. I've got another tarp I can put underneath. Build up the fire in front of it and add to the back wall to reflect the heat in. It should be able to hold most of the homeless.
Sounds like a plan. Easier said than done. The ropes were still in place from earlier, but I wanted to stake it down better, build up some sides, enhance the fire pit, and do it all quickly. With the roof in place, I sent him to get more wood from the stack near the central fire, the bottom of which was now underwater. While he was away, I returned to my tent.
It's me. I said softly in case anybody was sleeping.
Anyone up?
Just a sec. Terry replied, showing up in the doorway.
How's it going?
Good. Everyone's napping. For some reason, most of us are kind of tired. I leaned forward, kissing her lips. I hated leaving when I did. You have no idea how much I hated it. I told her in hushed tones. She grinned, opening up the fly enough that I could see she was still naked.
I have a fair idea.
God, you're killing me. Did you come here to ogle me? I looked her over, imagining that sweet little body of hers underneath me. Or on top of me. Maybe both.
Alex?
I looked up to her face. She was smirking.
You are bad.
I know. In the bottom of my backpack are some plastic tarps. Can you get them for me? And the cord of rope with them.
Sure.
I held my flashlight on her as she turned away, watching her pretty little butt, and that glorious space between her legs. Shit, that was almost mine. She returned a minute or so later.
Here. Anything else?
No, I'll be back a little later. Still have a ton to do. You know you have a near-naked teacher in your sleeping bag. She wouldn't take Heather's shirt.
Fuck.
Why would you do that to me? She giggled.
I bet you'll get back here quicker.
Hardly. Nothing could get me over here faster than knowing you're waiting, dressed like this. She gave me a quirky little smile.
You know, I would have called bullshit normally, but I'm changing my ways. I'm going to try to trust you more, and believe it when you say nice things, no matter how improbable.
I gave her a soft kiss.
6 years of being around you. It's a miracle I ever go soft.
She reached out and gave me a push.
I'm trying, buddy. I'm really trying.
So cut the hyperbole, finish up and come back to me. I returned to the worksite with my cock straining my shorts. I'd guess it took the better part of an hour before we had the shelter ready for its new guests. While John took care of getting them relocated without getting too wet, I stopped by Dr. Reed's tent. It was set back from most of the others, but in direct view of our new setup, which could cause some trouble. I knelt in front of the tent. It looked like it had held up well. I gave it a firm shake.
Dr. Reed. You up?
He sounded logy when he responded a moment later.
Who is it?
It's Alex.
Alex Hamilton.
I don't want to interfere, but I thought you should know. In a few minutes, about 10 people are going to be setting up shelter not 20 feet from here. From that moment on, you're not going to have a bit of privacy. If there's anyone with you, now would be a good time to fix that, while nobody's the wiser.
What are you intimating?
I'm not intimating anything. With all the wind and rain, we're all taking shelter where we can. There's 5 people in my tent right now. If I had been near your tent, I would have made for it. But appearances matter. We have a nice warm shelter set up for anybody who needs it.
Who's there with you?
He asked.
Nobody.
I swear, I won't be speaking of anything that goes on tonight. It's certainly extreme circumstances. But if we could avoid any serious rumor mongering, it would probably be for the best. You've only got a couple of minutes before any chance of avoiding observation is gone for good.
There was some whispering and rustling, and a minute later the fly opened and Ellen climbed out, holding a jacket over her head.
I just got here. My tent was leaking.
I know. Let's go.
I put my arm around her, and brought her to our shelter.
I brought you here from your tent just now.
Got it? She nodded, looking thoroughly embarrassed.
Got it.
Thanks, Alex. I leaned nearer. Your shirt's on backward and inside out. You might want to take care of that. The girl had the biggest tits in the free world. Everyone would be looking at that chest, and couldn't miss the dressing faux pas. I stood in front of her, holding her jacket blocking the view from the rest of the camp while she rearranged things. I'm ashamed to say I'm not enough of a gentleman to avoid taking a peek. Her tits were mammoth, far larger than any I'd ever seen. It was amazing she could walk upright. She caught me peeking and blushed.
Sorry.
I whispered.
I couldn't help myself.
You have the most amazing body, beautiful. She pulled her shirt down, and I slipped her jacket around her shoulders. She turned and gave me a kiss on the cheek.
Thanks for taking care of me.
That would have been bad.
I'm not one to lecture.
I told her, brushing her hair back and letting my hand stroke her cheek.
But you can do better.
I left her, and she walked over in front of the raging fire, extending her hands toward it. While John got everyone transferred, I started on my next task. Why was I such a friggin' Boy Scout? I started checking out the tents that were underwater, moving all their contents near the new shelter. I had a second tarp set up as a cover, with a couple of clotheslines underneath it. We could dry off clothing, and even sleeping bags there. I'd let the owners deal with their own belongings. The tents I unstaked and dragged to higher ground, with help arriving halfway through. John and a new recruit, Max, who looked young but seemed to be holding up better than most. They helped with moving the 4 worst tents. We spent another 20 minutes re-erecting the tents that had collapsed, which weren't underwater. We checked on our relocated survivors. They seemed in a lot better frame of mind. It had taken some doing, but I had a nice fire blazing, and most of the wood from our original pile was still dry. It made a nice side wall to the shelter, and the tarp that had been covering it served a similar purpose. The inside of the shelter was warm, throughout, and they were chatting away. Clothes were drying under the side tarp, and it was almost a party atmosphere. I turned to John.
You got it from here?
Sure. Good, cause Dominique's looking lonely. You should try to get some of the sleeping bags opened up and dried out. You can make a nice community sleeping area. Could be fun.
I got it, Alex.
What are you going to do?
Couple of last tasks, and I'll see if the gang that's taken over my tent will let me in.
Wish me luck. Before settling down, I stopped by all the remaining upright tents, waking any sleeping occupants, and letting them know there was a shelter set up if they wanted, or needed. My last stop, against my better judgment, was Dr. Reed's.
Dr. Reed?
Alex again. He must not have been asleep, he answered quickly enough, actually opening the front and peering out. Everything's fine now. If you wanted to go up to the shelter and check on everyone, it might be good, letting them know you're in charge and all. You've got about a dozen people up there, girls and guys. If your sleeping bag is dry and you could spare it, you'd be a hero. Would a blanket help? Anything would be better than sitting and laying on bare tarps.
He stared at me for a moment.
What are you up to?
He was frying my last nerve.
I'm trying to keep people out of trouble, including stupid little girls who don't need any more rumors around them than they already have. I'm trying to make it a little more comfortable for this crowd on a rough night. I don't want anybody getting into any trouble we can avoid.
I calmed down.
Miss Shannon's been dealing with everything until now, but she's wiped out and soaked to the skin. The worst is over. Everything should be good until morning. You need to take over now.
He looked like he wanted to say something, but seemed to think better of it.
All right. I'll do what I can.
What are you going to do?
Me?
I laughed.
I'm freezing, soaked, and haven't slept. I've been working my ass off while everyone else was either feeling sorry for themselves or waiting for someone else to do the heavy lifting. I'm going to see if I can't get a couple hours of shut-eye, if that's all right by you.
He held his hands up, waving them awkwardly.
No offense, Alex.
Really?
I was only curious. I appreciate what you've done tonight. Everything you've done.
He said softly, emphasizing the everything.
You get some sleep. I'll take over.
I nodded.
Thanks.
I started to turn away, but turned back at the last moment.
Listen, Dr. Reed. They like you. But they're cold and exhausted. You could really make a difference here. Find a way for them to get a little sleep. Don't fuss about guy areas and girl areas. Let them get their comfort from each other, and I swear you're golden.
He nodded.
I'll take that under advisement. I do appreciate your effort.
Sure. I passed by the shelter, standing in the front, letting the fire burn off the worst of the chill. Everyone was settling in nicely. I almost felt bad about dragging a chaperone up there. I counted 5 guys and 7 girls, and they were obviously in a happier state of mind. I caught John's eye, where he was reclining with Dominique in his arms, and gave him a thumbs up. He responded by giving me a wink and planting a lip lock on his new girl. I wanted to be just a little angry with him, but hell, he'd earned it. I had a new list now anyway. Back at my tent I dried off the best I could, shedding my soaked shorts, looking forward to the warmth of the sleeping bag and soft bodies. I opened the fly a bit.
Cold, tired, naked man coming in?
I warned them. Inside the door I grabbed the finishing towel and did the best I could. I covered my flashlight with my hand, only letting a hint of light through to see if there was any chance of finding a place to lay. Miss Shannon was nearest the door, mostly in the blanket. Next to her were the sisters, followed by Heather with Terry on the end. They looked to be sleeping, but Lisa popped her head up, putting her fingers to her lips. She gestured for me to join them between her and Julie. Sounded like a decent enough plan to me. I watched her nudge her sister awake, and they moved apart, turning on their sides. I slipped between them, my teeth chattering and I was shivering hard. I must have been colder than I thought. The inside of the tent wasn't too bad, but the warm sleeping bag felt heavenly. There wasn't enough room for me, but Julie solved that problem by propping herself up so I could slide underneath her. She settled onto me, shivering.
You're frozen,
she whispered. I responded by giving her a small kiss and extinguishing the flashlight, letting the darkness back in. I held her while Lisa snuggled in close.
Everything okay?
She whispered. I nodded, then realized she couldn't see it.
FF fine.
I managed to say through my chattering teeth. She kissed my shoulder.
Good.
She murmured sleepily. I felt movement from my opposite side.
Alex?
Miss Shannon asked sleepily.
Pee pee present.
She moved nearer, reaching out for me.
God, you're an ice cube. And I'm melting a little.
I told her. She moved against me, and I heard her chuckle.
Julie? Is that an appropriate position?
She whispered.
He's freezing. And he wouldn't fit in here with us otherwise.
She was very firm in her reply. I imagined if Miss Shannon tried to get her to move, she'd have a fight on her hands. She did feel great on me. I really was starting to warm up a bit.
I think we can let this one slide. I imagine the camp savior deserves a hero's welcome.
That got a giggle out of my diminutive human blanket. Shannon was pressing against my side, and I recalled that she was topless, at least according to Terry's last report. A real hero's welcome.
How'd it go?
She whispered into my ear. Her breath against my neck had my hormones kicking into overdrive. I turned my head toward her, bumping foreheads.
Ow,
she said teasingly.
I could feel her breath on my face when she said it.
Sorry.
All done. Shelter, fire, and clothes hung up and drying. A baker's dozen under the new tarp. She wiggled against me and I moved my arm around her, pulling her close.
You're warm, I said.
Thanks to you. Julie eased to the opposite side a bit, still lying on me but straddling my left leg. I scooted toward Shannon. She turned on her side, leaning against me, one leg sliding over mine, her bare breast pressed against my chest.
Anything else I need to know? Do I need to go out there?
She asked with dread in her voice. I lowered my voice to the faintest whisper.
No.
Dr. Reed's tent is empty now, and he's going to take over. She pressed her lips to my ear.
Ellen?
She asked so faintly I could barely hear it. Personally escorted to the shelter, away from prying eyes.
Fucking ass.
She mumbled. Julie was up to no good, and had her hand wedged between us, rubbing life back into my frozen cock. It was turning out to be quite effective. I reached down and gave her ass a squeeze. Still bare, and still delightful to touch.
Everything copacetic here?
I asked. Shannon giggled.
Oh yes, we had a delightful discussion.
She whispered again.
Naughty, naughty boy.
It was too much. I leaned down and kissed her, and was delighted when she returned it in full force. Julie giggled.
He liked whatever you just did.
I'd behaved until then, but that kiss put me over the edge. I slid my hand down her back, caressing her warm skin, and slid it inside her loose shorts, or I should say my loose shorts, giving her round but a nice grope. If I expected any kind of recrimination, I'd be waiting a long time. I had a hand full of her ass cheek, massaging it, while our kiss grew more intense. I felt a leg tussle going on below, and Julie's one out, sliding between Shannon and I. God, that girl was brazen. She had me fully hard, and was trying to get me inside her. It took a few seconds before she could claim success. I moaned into Shannon's delightful mouth. Our sexy chaperone pulled away.
Is she?
Ma'am. I acknowledged, pushing into my unofficial girlfriend.
How much did they tell you?
I asked. She nibbled on my shoulder. Everything, I think. Your little friend Terry is quite the chatterbox.
She giggled while Julie fucked me gently.
I mean, hell, Alex, it was hard to hide it. For practically naked girls in a tent that reeked of sex. Any doubts I might have had are pretty much quashed now.
Angry?
I asked her. She pressed her lips to mine.
What do you think?
I think I've died and gone to heaven.
She nibbled on my ear.
I think heaven is currently fucking you.
Hell yeah. I chuckled.
All of them? She asked while Julie maintained her sweet rocking motion.
All but little oral Terry.
I teased. I should be mad at you for that one. I was moments away from corrupting her completely when you showed up. Poor baby. How can I make it up to you?
I moved my hand down her ass crack, pressing a finger against her moist pussy, easing it in.
Here? Now? With all these girls around? Trade places with Julie.
Alex.
I can't.
Not like this.
I caressed Julie's hair, getting her attention. She was totally fixated on servicing me.
Julie, trade places with Shannon.
She slid off of me, and started crawling over our teacher. I tugged Shannon onto me.
You have to now, there's not enough room otherwise.
She moved over me slowly, and I felt her hands slide her shorts off.
God, you're terrible.
She whispered to me. I held her in my arms, kissing her deeply. When she came up for air, she reached between us, and eased my cock into her warm hole. I sighed as she slid me into her welcoming pussy, taking her time, until she was grinding for more.
Is that what you wanted?
For damn near forever. I held her ass in my hands and thrust into her heart, getting a sweet little whimper in return.
Gentle, baby.
That's a lot to get used to. Julie snuggled up to me.
It wasn't just me then?
I didn't think it would even fit.
No, sweetie.
It's not just you.
That's a lot to take care of.
He didn't hurt you, did he?
No way.
It was perfect. I mean, it hurt at first, and for a while I didn't think it was even going to be possible. It took some getting used to, but I really like it.
You don't mind sharing with me?
She giggled. Nothing behind my back he wouldn't do in front of me. Shannon was rolling her hips, teasing me. I reached down and held her hips, pushing deep. I looked over to the other side, wondering about Lisa's attention, but she seemed to be sleeping again.
Incredible.
Isn't it nice? Julie asked. Shannon moaned softly.
Wonderful.
Okay, now here's the rules. Julie whispered. We all share, just a few minutes each. And we all stay totally quiet. Nobody should know who's doing what, except the people involved. Everything is totally private. What happens between him and any one of us is our own little secret. Like, I don't know what you guys are doing right now, not for sure, and you don't know that I was doing the same to him just a minute ago, until he got greedy. She giggled. Shannon raised her hips for me, so I could thrust into her harder.
Whose idea?
She gasped sweetly. At first it just sort of happened that way. Then Lisa made it a rule. It's pretty wild.
I bet.
Oh yeah, and when he has to come, we finish with our mouths so we don't make a mess.
Have you done that?
Miss Shannon? Did you already forget the secret part? I felt little Julie rise up and caress our teacher. Nobody is supposed to know who does it, or that I haven't yet, but I will finally get a chance to when he finishes with us, if nobody else wakes up.
Shannon's motion slowed, and with a press of her hand against my hip, she managed to get me to pause.
She turned toward Julie, accepting Artine's gentle touch, and bringing her down for a gentle kiss.
I guess we should be quiet then, so we don't wake anyone.
Yeah. More for us.
Julie giggled.
Thanks for sharing him with me, Julie.
You're his favorite.
We all know that.
Julie whispered.
Now hush up.
I fucked her in perfect silence, the patter of the rain our only accompaniment. Julie let us have a nice long time together, before they switched off. I tugged at Shannon, moving her higher until I could reach her breasts with my mouth. Once she understood what I was looking for, she was very accommodating, leaning over me while I sucked on those fantasy tits. Shannon could give Julie a run for her money. Julie removed her shirt, leaving the three of us naked, no complaints from me. Once they had the process down, they made sure to keep me isolated at the end of the sleeping bag, with the girl on deck between us and the rest of them. They must have switched places 4 or 5 times before I got the first really nice reaction from either. Shannon was on top and I was pounding her very hard and fast.
There, right there,
she whispered before Julie could shush her. I gave her a steady dose of hammering and felt her tense up. She surprised me by biting down on my shoulder, while she came for me, fucking back at me with a vengeance. The bite didn't hurt too bad, and I brought her down gently, long slow strokes, testing her depths. Julie hadn't come for me yet, and I dearly wanted to change that. When Shannon started to get off of me, I turned on my side and pulled Julie underneath. I let her guide me into her, and took her firmly. I pumped her with long, firm strokes, my mouth on hers, kissing her the entire time. I felt Shannon's hands between us, caressing us. She concentrated on Julie's breasts a while, then reached down between the teen's legs. At the first touch, Julie whimpered sweetly. I picked up the pace a bit, and Shannon matched my pace. Julie gasped.
Oh God, that's good.
And I shushed her, covering her mouth with mine. Her breath was heaving, and I felt her body tensing, her hips pushing back harder. I whispered in her ear.
Come for me, angel, I'm dying to feel you come on my cock.
She squealed, the noise muffled by my mouth on hers, and bit down on my lip. It hurt, but I refused to be distracted, holding her by her shoulders and slamming into her. She felt wonderful, and I slowed the stroking, keeping it long and deep. She was gasping for breath, before crying out again, a second orgasm quickly following the first. I kept pumping, wanting to see if that was an accident. She came for me 3 more times in quick succession, until she struggled underneath me.
No more,
she gasped, before arching her back and coming harder than ever. I was going to enjoy fucking this one. I eased her down, slowing before coming to a rest deep inside of her.
Don't move, please,
she whispered, trembling uncontrollably. Shannon's hand had retreated sometime during our little escapade. I don't know when, but I'm certain it was a big part in getting Julie over the hump for that first one. I nudged my cock into her and felt her body spasm. God, she was sweet. I pulled out just a little, then diddled her with short little strokes. She whimpered and came again, wriggling underneath me, while I pinned her to the floor.
Too much,
she pleaded. Shannon put her hand on my shoulder.
My turn?
I moved over on top of her, her legs open in invitation. I felt incredible, strong and fierce, my cock a steel rod. We were outside the end of the sleeping bag, the blanket underneath us, but open. Shannon guided me into her, then pulled her legs back. I leaned over her, slipping my arms around her legs, pinning them down, and started up where I'd left off, with some short teasing strokes that became longer and longer, until I was pounding into her as hard as I could. She slowly climbed her own peak, until I got her off as well. She was able to contain it better.
Come for me, Alex, please. Come inside me,
she whispered. A hell of an invitation. One I couldn't turn down. I found the motion and angle that allowed me to build my own need, holding back as long as I could, until I had to finish. I groaned, pushing deep and erupting inside of her. I continued with a dozen or so deep thrusts, filling her with my juice. Exhaustion hammered me down immediately, my legs trembling with fatigue. I rolled with her, pulling her over on top of me, leaning against Julie's semi-conscious form. With an enormous effort, I straightened out the blanket, covering us. I stayed inside of Shannon, nudging her with my cock, fondling her tremendous ass, trying to keep hard, never wanting to pull out of her. It was working at least a little, as I stayed thick, buried inside of her.
God, Shannon, you are amazing,
I whispered, closing my eyes and holding her.
You were pretty awesome yourself, Mr. Hamilton.
I felt her weight settle down on me, her breasts billowing out to the side. I'd push into her every few seconds, maintaining my hardness. I'd screw her for a few strokes, then relax and enjoy the feeling of being inside of her. Her breathing slowed, and I listened in the silence to the soft snoring coming from a short ways away, the occasional burst of laughter from afar, and the constant drumbeat of the rain on the timpani of our rain fly. My hands explored every inch of her flesh that I could reach, while my cock hardened within her, growing thicker, longer and harder. I had fucked her. The ultimate schoolboy fantasy. The sexiest teacher in school. I'd fucked her hard, I made her come for me, twice. I'd spent my seed deep inside of her. All with my new girlfriend cheering us on, and taking her turn. And now Shannon was lying on me, surrendering herself completely, my cock buried inside that tight, warm forbidden pussy. I was fucking her again, and I swore to myself it wouldn't be the last time. Her breathing was slow and steady, hypnotic. She was asleep on me, while we continued our ancient dance. I was drifting off, fighting it, so I could stay inside of her, her pussy molding itself to my shape. I dozed off for a second, and wakened as she pushed back against me.
Alex,
she moaned sleepily.
Shannon,
I whispered, thrusting harder.
Again,
she murmured.
I thrust into her again, harder, repeatedly.
She whimpered sweetly.
No, say my name again.
Shannon,
I whispered to her, kissing her forehead.
Shannon, Shannon, Shannon,
she chuckled softly.
Miss Shannon,
I groaned, getting more excited by the moment, feeling her hips respond to me.
Miss Shannon.
God, you are incredible, Miss Shannon. Everything I fantasized and more. I can't believe we waited this long. I love being inside you, Miss Shannon.
She lifted up a bit, seeking out my lips.
I kissed her deeply, grunting while I came inside of her, my cock buried to the hilt, while it pulsed out its creamy prize.
She kissed my lips tenderly and settled back down against my chest, hugging me.
Alex, Alex, Alex. What am I going to do with you?
She whispered. I surrendered in my battle to stay awake, with one last push inside of her.
Shannon.
I uttered that simple word, a prayer of thanks to God for the storm that had delivered her to me.
My Shannon.
I woke alone, slowly looking around my now sadly vacant tent. I was tired and sore all over, not the least between my legs. I had to pee like a racehorse. I rummaged through my belongings to find the only things I had to wear were a not quite dry bathing suit and a rain poncho. I arrived with 5 shirts, 2 pairs of shorts, some boxers, 1 bathing suit, 1 jacket, 1 rain poncho, and that's all I had left. I could hear the soft echo of the raindrops hitting the tent fly, alerting me to the fact the rain may have slowed but hadn't stopped completely. The rain made me smile. I loved the rain, especially after last night. I took a minute to straighten things out a bit, getting a little organized, and rechecking my inventory. I opened all the flaps to let some air in, and headed out into the real world, a little sad to leave my magical tent and its recent memories behind. The voices were loud and boisterous coming from my impromptu rescue fly, and I turned away from them to take a leak, my tent blocking the view. Turning back to the protected area that John and I had created the night before, I was surprised to see the changes. The single oversized fly that everyone had huddled under was now a network of coverings, with 4 more tarps covering different areas, creating a virtual habit trail. The big tarp was nearest my tent, less than 10 yards away. A few feet from that one was what I like to think of as our drying tent. It had a separate smaller fire in front of it now, the heat reflected into where the clothing was hanging from ropes, drying. These first 2 shelters had backs that faced west and reached the ground, providing a windbreak and extra protection from the elements. After the first 2, which John and I had erected, again separated by a few yards, was a single large overhead tarp. It had no sides or backs, but provided a nice dry area away from the business of the first 2. The final tarp seemed to have been added for no particular reason. 2 smaller ones, side by side, creating a long narrow shelter. Nothing was going around under it, but it did give additional coverage. Just past the last shelter was the new tent zone, where the previous flooded and collapsed tents were set up in the hopes that a little sun might dry them out and make them usable again. People were up and about, half-clothed, staying busy, laying out wet clothing, sleeping bags, or just looking for a place to chill. I was gazing around to see who was where and what they were doing. It didn't take me long to spot Heather and Terry, both wearing my t-shirts, organizing some of the clothing in front of the drying fire. I couldn't spot Shannon anywhere, which was odd. She was always easy to identify in a crowd. Tiny Julie, on the other hand, could be invisible unless she was right in front of you. A smiling face broke my reverie, as Lisa appeared before me, mug of hot cocoa in hand. Not my preferred morning libation, but I appreciated the effort.
Good morning.
About time you rolled out of bed, lazy bones.
You're one of the last ones up,
she said.
I could still use another 8 hours sleep. What was I thinking, putting that thing so close to my tent?
I asked, gesturing toward the crowded main shelter.
She laughed.
You were thinking it was for you, not for the entire camp.
How are you feeling?
Worn out, but not complaining.
You?
She grinned, moving closer.
Wonderful. Got a minute for a quick chat before integrating yourself back into society?
For you?
Of course.
Always. I teased, taking a sip of my morning cocoa.
Not bad, really.
She put her arm around my waist, turning me away from the crowd, walking deeper into the woods. She had my windbreaker on over my t-shirt, a Dave Matthews Band concert shirt. Definitely looked a whole lot better on her. She was quiet for the first few minutes, leaning against me, as I wrapped my free arm over her shoulders. The tree coverage overhead was dense, and it was hard to tell if it was still raining, or just branches dripping. Either way, the rainfall was almost unnoticeable. It was nice to walk through this more natural setting with Lisa. She moved well. I couldn't help but think what it would be like to go on a real trek with her.
Daryl and I broke up last week. It was my decision. He's not taking it especially well, but it was his own fault. I found out he'd been screwing around with Tammy.
She blurted it out quickly.
Tammy? His ex? What a fucking idiot.
I almost exploded.
When he had you? What the holy fuck is wrong with him?
My thoughts exactly. She reached up and held my hand in hers, pulling it tighter around her shoulders, moving in closer.
I wanted you to know before you made any decisions about who you want to date.
She was quiet for a moment.
I want to be back on your list.
I stopped and turned to face her.
Jesus, Lisa. You could have told me this yesterday.
She looked sad.
Are you saying it's too late? I know I'm not a virgin like your previous girls. I've been around a little. But I thought we had a nice thing going last night.
I almost laughed.
Nice thing?
Amazing. And being a virgin is the least of my concerns. I never sought them out, it's just the way things happened.
I leaned down and kissed her softly.
You were number one before Daryl, and probably would be now, if not for last night. What about Julie? I've all but told her she was my choice.
She took my hand in hers, and started walking again, headed downhill toward the water, still away from camp.
After last night, I have no idea where things stand. What with Terry willing to make you her first, and Heather making up for past mistakes. I'm not even sure I want to know what happened between you and Miss Shannon. Julie is probably the least of our worries. Don't worry about Heather. She's not in the running. All is forgiven, but not forgotten. And Shannon's our teacher. As far as anyone should be concerned, nothing happened there, and nothing will, so long as her job is on the line.
The walking was getting more difficult, and I had to help her over a couple of fallen logs, before we broke into the beach area, turning and heading back in the general direction of the camp.
Terry?
She asked cautiously.
I don't know. I like her, and I tease her, and she's been my friend since sixth grade, but she's pretty much driven herself out of the running over the years. Until last night. She and I need to have a heart-to-heart, but to be brutally honest, if I picked my top five right now, you, your sister, and Dominique would all rate higher than her. Although it looks like my supposed best friend John has snaked Dominique out of the running.
Lisa chuckled.
Totally. She looks like she's fallen for him in a big way. He's the hero of the camp, thanks to you abdicating your role last night, just so you could have your way with us. Me have my way with you guys?
You're kidding. I was practically gang raped last night. I thought there might be a little kissing and grab ass in that sleeping bag, until y'all got crazy.
You complaining? After all that teasing around the campfire?
Hell no. Best damn night of my life. I challenge anyone to have a better one.
Ever. I'm just saying, I was the victim, not the instigator.
She laughed.
Keep telling yourself that.
She gave my hand a squeeze.
It was all pretty amazing though, wasn't it? God, that was so hot, riding you, with everyone touching us, not knowing who is who. And to see you deflower my sister. Unreal.
I wasn't expecting that. I confessed.
Who was? Did you see the shirt she's wearing? It's the one we cleaned you up with after.
An actual cherry, I didn't think that really happened.
I lost mine to a hairbrush. But not Julie.
Nasty bloody smear on the shoulder, and she's wearing it like a championship trophy.
She'll probably never wash it. Baby girl is a wild thing. Seems like a family thing.
I teased, giving her a squeeze. She stopped and pulled me in for a kiss. A real one this time.
It could be. A family thing.
You choose me or Julie, and I'm thinking that she and I can work it out. At least she sounds cool with the idea this morning.
She walked toward a huge tree, pulling me along by the hand, until we were beside the trunk, protected from the rain.
She reached for the bottom of my poncho, lifting it up and over my head.
She peeled off her rain jacket, and leaned into my chest, kissing my shoulder.
God, you look good, Alex. A guy shouldn't look so good.
I had to laugh.
Look who's talking. Prettiest girl these parts have ever seen.
She smiled up at me.
We'd make a good-looking couple. Don't you think?
King and queen of the ball.
The queen and her jester is what I'm thinking.
I told her, leaning back against the tree, the bark rough against my skin, while I held her in my arms. She squeezed me tight.
Are Julie and I really at the top of your list?
With a huge gap after.
Then choose us.
Us.
Or choose me, and I promise I'll bring her along.
Her lips were pressed against my skin, her hand pressing against, unlikely as it would seem after the previous night, my new hardness.
I don't understand. Are you afraid if I tell her I choose her, she'll lock you out?
I gotta be honest here.
I've practically told her already, since I thought you were out of the picture.
We're more than friends.
She shook her head.
I don't know. What I do know is that I've had two serious boyfriends in the past, and I settled.
Both times.
The guys I wanted didn't ask me, so I eventually gave in to those who did.
I don't want to settle, Alex.
Not again.
You're number one for me, in a big way.
Please don't make me settle for somebody else.
Give us a chance.
Let me hammer things out with Terry, and then you, me, and your sister need to have a talk. Believe me, gorgeous, you are the girl of my dreams. But I'm not going to hurt Julie.
Before we leave this weekend?
She asked.
Before the sun sets.
She grinned hugely, her smile a thing of beauty. She reached up for another deep kiss that didn't disappoint. I felt her hands pulling at my bathing shorts, and within moments she was kneeling at my feet, her sexy mouth engulfing my cock.
Hmm. I wonder who this is I'm tasting? A special redhead maybe? Or an innocent little blonde? How naughty would that be?
Licking my sister's dry juices off your cock.
She took me back in her mouth, sucking expertly.
Fuck. This gorgeous sexbot could be mine. I only had to say the word. I looked out across the water, the raindrops dotting the surface of the lake, the crisp clean air filling my lungs, the prettiest girl in school, with the most amazing sexy body, eagerly swallowing my cock.
This is incredible.
I told her. She stood, dropping her shorts and turning around, presenting herself to me.
Take me, Alex.
She said softly. I gazed at that perfect ass, alabaster cheeks, so soft and smooth, beckoning. I opened my legs wide to bring myself to her level, and slid inside of her. She was wet and ready. The feeling was perfect, holding her hips, filling her, using my full length on her, the beauty of nature surrounding us. I was in no hurry, finding a nice pleasant pace that didn't tax my strength,
while I could concentrate on the feeling of piercing her repeatedly. Sliding inside that heavenly warmth. After a few minutes she was breathing harder.
Fuck me, Alex.
Harder. I picked up the pace, fucking her faster, deeper, her body shifting, absorbing the pounding.
God.
She gasped.
Don't stop.
Like that was going to happen. I hammered her, the tightness doing wonders for me. She groaned, bending almost in two, and clinging to her legs. My hands dug into her hips, pulling her against me hard on every stroke, until she cried out for me, and I felt her body react to her orgasm. I was getting closer, pounding harder, faster, deeper, the need to finish rising, until it was all-consuming.
I'm gonna come.
I groaned, warning her.
In me.
Fill me with your cum, Alex. She pleaded.
Make me yours.
With a final deep thrust she got her wish. I grew lightheaded from the feeling, and had to lean back against the tree, pulling her with me, earning the cutest little squeal for that effort. A few minutes later we were walking back into camp, hand in hand.
Tonight?
She asked.
We'll talk.
I promise. She leaned against me.
Thank you.
That's all I wanted to hear. Back in camp, I found some cereal to eat, reclaiming one of my camp chairs from the same punk who tried to make time with Julie earlier on the trip. He seemed eager to give it to me once I made it clear it was mine. Hell, the whole damn setup was mine. Besides, I didn't like leeches who lived off others' work, and didn't contribute. Sitting back, feasting on Honey Nut Cheerios, a steaming cup of coffee appeared suddenly before me. In Miss Shannon's hand?
Good morning.
I see you're still alive.
She said, grinning.
Barely.
Rough night.
She avoided any reference to the tent activities.
You did a good job with the setup. Even if your buddy John is getting all the credit.
I took a sip from the coffee. Strong and bitter.
Divine.
Good for him. I'm not worried about it. My reward is in doing the right thing. She smiled.
It is, isn't it?
This whole setup must be feeding your neurotic do-gooder alter ego to no end. I like to help people who need it.
So shoot me.
She leaned in close, whispering.
Shoot you?
God, I'm dying to kiss you. She stood up abruptly, musing my hair.
You look a fright.
You should clean up.
And check around the camp.
I'm sure there's something you could be doing to save some poor soul in need. It's been what, 3 to 4 hours?
You must be in withdrawal.
She walked away, and my eyes followed her shorts encased rear.
Damn.
I had hit that.
Hard.
I got up from my chair, reluctant to leave it behind, but Shannon was right. There were things that needed doing. Conversations that needed to be held. John was sitting nearby, with Dominique at his side.
Too unfair.
Hey Dominique. Bozo treating you right? She smiled shyly, leaning against him.
Couldn't ask for better.
Good.
I'm glad.
He's a little rough around the edges, but he's the best guy out here.
Don't ever let him know I said so.
She grinned at the big lunk sitting beside her.
Our secret.
I promise.
Speak of the devil.
John, camp savior and superhero. Walk with me. I'm sure the kiss he gave Dominique was a reminder of his new claim on her.
Again?
Jesus, Alex, last time you had me working half the night. The words might have sounded like complaining, but the smile he was wearing said otherwise. He got up and we started touring the camp, to see how everything was.
How'd it go once I left?
I asked.
Not bad.
Dr. Reed showed up, but he was cool about the whole situation. Helping but not bossing around too much, and giving a lot of leeway in how people were dressing and acting.
Kind of surprised me.
Good. Everything else copacetic?
No major problems?
He gave me a shove.
I told you, under control.
No problems at all. Funny how the storm brought everyone together.
Dominique?
I asked.
Too good to be true.
I think she really likes me.
What's not to like?
Second best catch in the school.
She's lucky.
He blushed. I'd never expected that. Some kind of comeback about best catch maybe.
Not that.
She's something.
He said softly.
All yours. No interference from me, I swear. He smiled, as we checked out the cooking area.
How about you?
Rumor has you and Julie together.
Or maybe Terry.
Can't believe she's singing your praises today.
And what's the deal with Heather?
I thought she hated you?
Give a girl a dry tent and a warm sleeping bag, and all the old issues seem to fade, I guess.
I think we're cool. I was thinking about the cooking area. Want to move these tables? I'm sure they'd be a lot more useful undercover.
Maybe under that big empty tarp near the end.
He kicked the heavy chain links on the ground.
It's chained to the tree.
I gave the chain a kick and lifted the leg off the loop.
By an idiot.
He sighed, walking to the far end of the biggest.
No rest for the weary, huh?
You're a fucking slave driver.
Lift, Toby.
Work more, whine less.
Fuck you, Massa.
He laughed, almost falling in the mud on the first step.
Fuck.
If I break my leg, I'm going to kill you, you know?
Work more, whine less.
I teased. We barely had the table in place before its benches were full. I was happy to find Max, our assistant from the night before, falling in step with us.
How can I help?
He asked.
If you and John get the other picnic bench, I'll get the table.
I was asking a lot. John and I both had a good 50 pounds on the kid. Didn't seem to matter, he was a trooper, holding up his end. I thought it a sad commentary that of 6 guys sitting around, only Max offered to help. Didn't surprise me, but it was disappointing. I had a good memory for things like that. Max was earning himself a place on the good guys list.
Before we were done, the rain picked up again, light but consistent. I saw everyone scrambling toward the shelters, like they'd melt otherwise. A few of the girls were closing up the tents which were open to dry out when the occasional sunlight broke through. With John and Max in tow, we checked on all the tarps, tightening ropes that might have stretched from getting wet, and re-anchoring loose stakes. I retrieved some of my polycord and we tied down the tarps at more points, distributing the stress, and keeping the material taut. If the wind really picked up, like last night, we'd be in trouble. All we could do was our best. We got wet, but it was warm out, and didn't feel bad. My rain gear might have been a miserable fashion piece, but it was keeping me dry on the inside. More than I could say for John. He kept glancing over at Dominique. Eventually, I couldn't take it. I'm doing you a favor dragging you away. No girl wants a clingy guy. It didn't stop him from watching her. Fine. Go. Go to her. We're done. He grinned. Good. Give a shout if you need anything. But not for at least an hour, okay? I chuckled. I'll leave you alone. And I'm still jealous, you homely whipped bastard. Right. I saw what came out of your tent. You're not fooling me. Max was still standing beside me. You still here? Isn't there some pretty little thing you should be chasing? He grinned. Yeah. A couple. But hanging out with you guys even for just a few minutes helps my odds. I laughed. You little fucker. And I thought you were an altruist. I don't mind helping. If it pays off, that's just a nice little bonus. You really done? He asked. Yeah, some personal stuff I need to take care of. I explained, seeing Terry standing nearby, watching us. Who've you got your sights set on anyway? He nodded toward a skinny brunette girl sitting at one of the benches we'd brought over. Wendy. Introduce me. We walked over and he sat down next to her, on the edge of the bench. Wendy, you know Alex, right? She had a nice smile. Who doesn't? Hey Wendy. Having fun? This is your first club trip, isn't it? She nodded. Not what I was expecting, but definitely an adventure. She had a sparkle in her eyes. Pretty little thing. I could see why Max was interested. I nodded toward Max. Take care of this guy for me, will you? The only one out here worth a damn in a crisis. Doesn't bitch and moan like John when we're fixing up this place and getting the tents straightened out. I started to turn away. I'm only loaning him to you, understand? We'll need his help later if the rain picks up again. She looked at me like I was crazy. Me? Max? You. I told her. Keep the riffraff off him. He deserves better. I turned back to Max. Take it easy. Everything's cool now, but if the wind picks up, this place will get ugly. Let me know if you need any help taking care of the main shelter. Or get John to help you if I'm not around. He nodded. No problem. I've got it under control. He was grinning. I didn't know if I'd helped or not, but if so, good. He deserved it, stepping up when nobody else did. Like I said, I remember things like that. Terry was waiting patiently, standing nearby, watching me. I went to her, giving her a hug. How are you feeling this morning? She grinned. Good, if a little frustrated. Tell me about it. Got a minute for me? What do you think? I put my arm around her waist, walking over to my tent, ignoring the light drizzle. We can't go in there. She said softly. Not planning to. I thought we could talk here in private. I'd take you for a walk, but it looks like the rain's picking up. We stood under the vestibule, while I opened the front of the tent wide, bringing out my poor blanket which had been abused the night before. I hung it up within the vestibule, then went back in to see what I had that we could sit on. My rain poncho seemed like the best option, with all my tarps in use. I took it off and laid it out on the soggy ground, and put the towels from the night before on top. I sat on them, drawing Terry down beside me. She seemed unusually nervous, and kept her distance from me. Not acceptable. I pulled her close, my arm around her. Any fallout from last night's sleeping arrangements? She shook her head. None, thanks to Miss Shannon choosing to stay with us. Chaperoned, what could have happened? Especially with four girls. She said with a grin. Good. What are you feeling this morning? I asked. Confused. A little weirded out. That was crazy last night, wasn't it? I laughed, hugging her. Insane. Everything cool between us? I should be asking you that. I'm really sorry about the way I've been acting. I'm going to try to trust you more. I don't know why I haven't. It's my fault too. I told her. I tease you way too much. Maybe I'm a little too private about my life, when it comes to my friends. I should have been clearer about my feelings all along. I never did actually come out and tell you how I feel about you, all these years, did I? She leaned into me, her head on my shoulder. Were you really interested? Not just kidding? Very. 7th and 8th grade I had it bad for you. You were my personal fantasy. Didn't know how to say it. By 10th, I guess I'd kind of given up. Settled for friendship. I'm not complaining, you've been a great friend. She chuckled. We're so stupid. I always harbored hopes you'd stop the teasing and make me your girlfriend. I was tempted so many times to call you on the teasing. But I was scared, at the same time. Of course, you always had those other girls. Older girls. Where do we stand now? I asked. You're asking me? How would I know? I'm still coming to grips with the fact you haven't slept with half our class. Of course, going from 3 conquests to 6 overnight doesn't help things. Have you decided? Girlfriend? Not completely. Heather changes things? No. Not really. I wish I could,
but I can't get completely over the way she treated me for the last year. Forgiven but not forgotten. Although her apology was very nice. We figured that, but she was hoping.
Lisa?
Yeah. She broke up with Daryl last week.
Did you know?
No. But it explains a lot. I thought it was odd how she was behaving with a boyfriend at home. So Lisa or Julie, huh? Tough decision.
Or you?
Me? You're kidding, right? I reached for her legs and pulled her into my lap, holding her. I'm not kidding at all. I've liked you on and off since 7th grade.
Still do.
I slid my hand inside her shirt, caressing her soft skin. She seemed surprised.
Wow. I wasn't expecting that.
You'd choose me over Lisa or Julie? Or Heather? What's the chance of that? Best friends for 6 years counts for a lot. And I've always had a thing for smart girls. She leaned into me, head on my shoulder, while I held her. I don't know if I'm ready for someone like you, Alex. It's a huge step from where I am.
How's that?
You've known me forever. We get along great most of the time. As friends. We're not talking about that now. I've never even kissed a guy before yesterday. When it comes to boys, I'm taking baby steps. You're running marathons.
What do you want?
I asked, tilting her head up and kissing her softly. She closed her eyes and sighed.
I don't know. I love you, Alex.
I do. You've been so good for me. But I'm not sure I love you. Last night was just too intense. I get so carried away with you, I almost broke my promise to myself. That's what you do to me. You don't want to be in a relationship then? I asked, curious.
I do. I'm just not sure it should be with you.
Not my first. I think I'd rather be with someone my speed. Starting out. Learning with each other. I'd always feel inadequate around you. I tell you you're being silly, but it's your call. I'll tell you this much. Being able to sit down and talk like this with you, so openly, it's incredible. We can still be friends, right? She smiled.
Best friends. Special friends.
But sex is out of the equation. And I guess that means no more blowjobs.
Alex.
She hissed, looking around. It was pretty spectacular. You're not even supposed to know it was me. She whispered, blushing hard.
Incredible.
I told her. She leaned against me.
No sex.
As for other things, we'll see. A lot's going to depend on your girlfriend. I'm not going to make a cheater out of you. We're cool though. You're not angry with me, are you?
She shook her head.
The opposite. I'm proud of you, for all you did around here, and for the way you're handling this.
All of it. Heather, me, everything.
I've been mean to you for a long time, and you'd still choose me. It's hard to fathom. We can be good for each other. You want a starter boyfriend? I can hook you up.
Guaranteed.
She shook her head. I'll take my chances on my own. Hell, I'm sure my stock is going up this very moment. She grinned, wrapping her arms around my neck and giving me a big kiss.
Look at me. I'm Alex Worthy.
Silly girl. You're so much more. We looked out over the scene in front of us. When we came on this trip, there was only one couple in the entire group. Now it looked like everyone was pairing up. I got an idea. Can you do me a favor? She looked at me suspiciously. It doesn't involve getting me in private, or anything below the waist, does it? Where's the trust, bestie? You've set our boundaries, and I'll abide by them.
Friends.
As a friend, you could help out another one.
How's that?
Out of all the guys on this trip, only Max over there has been of any help. He's trying to get in good with that girl beside him.
Wendy?
Yeah, you know her?
Sure.
Cheerleader.
A little stuck up.
Cheerleader? I should know things like that. Go show Max a little attention. Let him know you appreciate how much he helped last night. He worked with us getting all the collapsed tents out of the water and re-erected on high ground. Are you asking me to flirt with him?
I can't do that.
I don't think I would even know how.
I laughed.
You're a master, and you don't even know it. Just sit by him for a bit. Thank him for his help. A little hug and kiss on the cheek would be nice. See if you can't make Wendy reevaluate him and get her jealous.
You're asking a lot.
She sighed. You need the practice anyway. Give it a try.
For me?
She pulled my face down and gave me another long, sweet kiss.
For you.
But you'll owe me. She climbed out of my lap, straightened herself up, and jogged across the open ground to the cover of the shelter. I watched her go over to Max, leaning over and talking to him. She definitely had the attention of everyone in the area. They talked a bit, then she leaned down and hugged him, giving him a kiss on the lips before walking away.
Poor Max.
He didn't know it was a setup. I saw him turn, watching her leave. He couldn't take his eyes from her. He started to get up, and Wendy grabbed his arm, speaking animatedly. He tore his eyes away from Terry, and put his arm around the cutie beside him. She smiled.
Another good deed.
Shannon was right. I felt immensely pleased about it. My fix. This story is continued in the next part. You have been listening to this podcast on the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts, their links are in the description of this episode. To support the free Erotica podcasts, visit our Patreon link. This will allow us to continue providing free content as well as it gives members the ability to request future stories with themes of their choosing. Links for everything are in the podcast description.